entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Breaking news in D.C. The Senate signed off on that massive foreign aid package, which includes billions for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan.
Well, it now goes to President Biden's desk. President Biden has vowed to sign it and get that much-needed aid to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. The Senate majority and minority leaders in agreement. They want to send a powerful message to enemies and allies. The message, the U.S. will support peace and democracy around the globe.
America sends a message to the entire world.
Shut up.
We will not turn our back on you.
Shut up.
Tonight we tell our allies, we stand with you. We tell our adversaries, don't mess with us.
Asshole.
Senate Democrats and Republicans agreeing to move forward with a foreign aid package recently passed in the House.
You know, it's not every day you can say you made the world truly a better place.
Including today.
It would give $95 billion to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, including a measure requiring TikTok's Chinese parent company to sell the social media platform or be banned in the U.S. The progress coming after months of debate about just how involved the U.S. should be abroad. The agreement displaying a rare moment of bipartisanship among Senate leadership.
America stepped up and the Senate held firm. It's time to reaffirm some basic truths. Alliances matter.
It was so difficult to get to this point that it may even cost the Republican Speaker of the House his job because he worked with Democrats to push it forward. Conservative House Republicans objecting. They say the package does not include money for America's border crisis.
Judge is now considering whether to hold Donald Trump in contempt of court.
Prosecutors at his criminal trial in New York say the former president violated orders to not talk about the case on social media.
Donald Trump violated this gag order 10 different times, and now they want him to pay $1,000 per violation. The DA's office says at this time they're not asking the judge to send Trump to jail because of these violations, but said, quote, the defendant seems to be angling for that. Prosecutors say that Trump violated this gag order with various social media posts, including attacks on key witnesses like Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. The judge has not made a decision yet, but showed some skepticism towards Trump's lawyers. The defense told the judge Trump understands the gag order, and those posts were about self-defense. The judge told Trump's lawyers directly then, right now, you are losing all credibility with the court. After the hearing, Trump continued to post on Truth Social, saying the judge should recuse himself in this case.
You have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me, they can say whatever they want, they can lie, but I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge is ordering me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like this.
After the gag order hearing, the trial itself continued with more witness testimony from David Pecker, a former publisher with the National Enquirer. We'll hear more from Pecker when court resumes on Thursday.
Out of Columbia University, protesters are now facing a deadline to reach an agreement with the school about the tent city on campus.
The encampment still there on campus, the subject of a letter from the university's president.
According to that letter, there is a deadline to decide on a plan to dismantle the encampment.
In an email to the student's university, president said that if her administration cannot reach an agreement with protesters, then she will consider alternative options for clearing the encampment on campus.
Pro-Palestinian demonstrations persist at Columbia University Tuesday night for a seventh consecutive day. On campus, the unsanctioned tent city continues to grow after students re-erected it, demanding their school divest financially from Israel. At NYU, a barrier now surrounds Gould Plaza in front of the Stern School of Business, where Monday night the NYPD arrested more than 100 people, including students and faculty, for putting up their own encampment.
I understand how important this is. Young people in particular are energized by their beliefs, but we have to have respectful discourse. This has gone too far.
Mayor Adams is applauding the NYPD for its response and says students who protest peacefully are not the problem.
We can't have outside agitators come in
and be destructive to our city.
At Columbia, the administration is giving most students the option of remote learning for the rest of the semester. Tuesday, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani drove by Columbia, putting in his two cents to condemn the demonstrators.
I feel that we have declined to a state of absurdity when we have these ignorant people who are supporting killers.
Columbia protesters say they are in ongoing talks with University President Manu Shafiq, who is facing growing calls to resign, with dozens of students suspended indefinitely for their encampment. But as tensions continue to boil over, freshman Daniela Davis says she regrets staying on campus this week during Passover.
There's no one left on our floor. There's six of us left, which is a really weird feeling, and it's supposed to be like a more joyous time around Pesach, and we're all celebrating together, but that hasn't really been the case.
We've also learned that House Speaker Mike Johnson is expected to visit Columbia and to meet with Jewish students to discuss anti-Semitism on college campuses. Also, in her email to the Columbia president, said that her staff is working to identify and discipline any students who have been discriminatory or harassing.
Sometimes you're not big enough. Sometimes you're not that fast. You're slow. You're not as a, but there's other talents that everyone can get. Everybody can find. And that's the talent of being dependable, determined, reliable. The talent of character, being resilient. What about those talents? We all can embrace those. We can all go find those. We could all develop those. And those are the best talents in the world because they never go away. They never get old. You know, reflexes get old. Speed, it slows down when you get old. It disappears. Dependability never disappears. And I'm going to finish with this. And you, I know this is coming out of left field, and I don't care because it's coming from my heart. You are here talking with the biggest radio show at your slot in the country. You were there because of those, because you had the quick wit. You had the quick tongue. You were real smart. You knew how to put words together. You knew how to do all that. But you had a problem years ago. And then what did you do? Yeah, you had great people around you that helped you with your wife and special people. But the talent that you really embrace at the end, the reason you're here right now and I'm talking to you, because you became dependable. You weren't dependable. You became determined to make up your mind to overcome what you had to overcome. You weren't that before. You became reliable. You weren't that before. You had character. And that's why you're here.
Freniere has come on, digging it loose to Trocheck. Open man, Sabanajan, he scores! Mika Sabanajan, it's a power play goal! Rangers win! Wow! That is playoff hockey, as good as it can. To take a 2-0 lead in this series.
Break it down again. So those are my dreams, and these are my eyes. Stand tall like a man.
Yeah.
the boys.
Fresh news from the boys. When it's all mixed up, better break it down. In the world of silence, in the world of sound. No sleep for dreaming, see the architects of life. Big bouncing.
You know, when we say break it down again, like Tears and Fears are talking about right now, this great song at 6:14 on your hump day Wednesday morning, break it down again. What we should be talking about is the encampments. Break them down again. You know, we did that. We made them break them down, but they came back and built them again. A lot of important stories in that open today. That foreign aid bill, I hate it. I don't dislike it. I hate it. $60 billion plus to Ukraine. What a waste of money. We'll talk to Peter King later. A waste of money. And we got two big-time congresspeople, local folks, coming on today. Anthony D'Esposito out of Long Island, Nicole Malliotakis out of Staten Island. They'll both join us. But I hate the bill. Three times as much money to Ukraine than to Israel, and still not a penny to the border. Not a penny. And when you know that, here's what you need to know. If Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell are both happy, we got a big problem. Two of the biggest assholes in the history of politics. Schumer and McConnell. And they're both happy today. That's all you need to know. Sorry, Peter. A waste of money. I'll say it again. If you are really worried that Vladimir Putin is going to take over the world, you're not watching that war. Not even a little. That Russian army is inept. They got tons more weaponry, tons more people. They can't win a battle in any city. Any city. I know they've got China behind them, but my God, this idea they're going into Poland, they're taking over the world, is just a lie. It's nonsense. And we keep giving these people more money. We'll get to that. The Trump gag order, we'll get to that. And even my great rendition of Dayenu last night during the Passover Seder, which I ended with Let's Go Rangers. And as you heard, the great Sam Rosen on MSG, the Rangers now up 2-0. But break them down should be the encampments. You know, first of all, let me just say this. If you're trying to contact me this morning, visa Instagram, Facebook, or even email, you're not getting through. I don't know what's going on with my phone. I got a message last night. There's like 64 gigabytes of memory on my phone, and I think I'm at 63.6. So in the camp this morning with Gene at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was like deleting photos, deleting emails, in an effort to get more memory back on my phone, but nothing's working. None of my social media sites, my email. Thank God my text is working so I can talk to my wife and kids, but none of my apps are working. None of them.
You can offload some of the apps.
I don't know how to do that.
So. Well, you go to your...
After the show, you and I will do it, okay?
You go into settings.
I got to go to T-Mobile, get a new phone anyway, but the same phone for 4 years.
Probably.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So anyway, if you're trying to contact me and you can't, I'm not ignoring you. Anyway, so what's hard for me to believe is there was a deadline imposed by this president, this Shafiq, who's a lowlife, the president at Columbia University. She's dog crap. She's human garbage, which I called AOC on Twitter yesterday. That's all she is. Human garbage pail. Shafiq. So she is actually negotiating with the terrorists. That's what I got. They call them protesters. As I told you, and I made the same statement at Columbia Monday, they're terrorists. What are they? You don't negotiate with these people. You send a bunch of cops out there, you call the cops in, and you give them permission to beat these people, young, old, male or female, with bats. Bash them over the freaking head. I don't care what they do. Rip down their stupid tents and bash them over the head. But we don't do that. No, no, no. We negotiate with terrorists. So they had until midnight last night to get rid of all these tents, this encampment. But you're not going to believe this. They said, nah, we're not ready yet. Give us another 48 hours. And this idiot president in Colombia said, okay. I swear to God, I'm not kidding you. They got another 48 hours. They are calling the shots, right? Everybody calls the shots. Everybody calls the shots. The only time we call the shots is when Joe Biden wants to cut off Bibi Netanyahu's balls. Then he calls the shots. Otherwise, the bad guys call the shots. Zelensky calls the shots. Terrorists on our campuses call the shots. What do you mean you want 48 hours? You have until midnight tonight or we're going to rip these things down and arrest you. Well, we can't do that. You don't get it, Sid. You don't get it. It's a private university. We don't have jurisdiction. My cops are doing a great job. Eric Adams. You know, Eric Adams was flying home from Miami last night or yesterday. And some crazy girl, who at one point I thought was a hero, but she's also white trash because she's pro-Palestinian. I didn't realize that, but she is. But I like what she said. She walks over, she goes, hey, are you Mayor Eric Adams? And he said, yes. And she goes, F you! All you do is party. What are you doing? Now, I'm not going to play it because, again, she's complete trash. And I draw the line at Hamas. I know that it sounds like a double standard because Michael Rappaport is not a Trump fan, but I still put him on. That's not the same thing as being pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas. I'm sorry. So I draw the line there. Curtis can play it later. I'm okay with that, but I won't play it. But he was in Miami yesterday. He wasn't even here. Monday, we went to Columbia University. He wasn't even here. So now these people, these animals, these terrorists will let us know. Will let us know in 48 hours whether or not they're leaving or how they're leaving or when they're leaving. Or is this not unbelievable to you?
It is amazing. I'm reading the negotiations that they're having.
Negotiations?
Yeah.
How about I bash you over the head with a bat, you anti-American, anti-Israel hating son of a bitch?
Well, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. We thought maybe come midnight the police would roll in, but that didn't happen. They have another 48 hours to figure this out.
Why? Why are we giving them, why is anybody giving these animals time? What did they do to deserve more time?
Well, apparently the group has agreed to take down a majority of the tents.
Oh, that's so nice. They've agreed to do that.
Wait, it gets better than that.
Maybe they'll get a Nobel Peace Prize.
And they also have promised to change the language that they're using when people walk by them on campus.
Yeah. You know, listen, I'm a guy of firsts. And what do I mean by that? So we decided to go to Israel. You know, Bo Dietl gave me a call yesterday. God, I love Bo. And he invited me to Israel May 5th to May 9th. And as it turns out, I got a call, Bo. I can't go because I'm honoring my friend Chris Olivero from Odyssey, FAN, on May 8th. So I can't go. But we decided to go to Israel right after October the 7th. And we did it in January. And now many, many, many shows have gone to Israel since, but we were at the forefront. So this Columbia University thing, after a discussion with Rappaport on Sunday, I decide early Monday morning on day one of Passover, I'm going. And then with the help of Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, who's going to join me today, we made a big deal out of it. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman showed up. Rockland County Congressman Mike Lawler showed up. Rappaport showed up. A lot of our listeners showed up. It was a big deal. And we started it right Monday. Now, I guess tomorrow night, there's a big march. United for Israel march. Columbia University. Let us worship, pursuit, hold the line. I'm not going. Because I did what I had to do already. We were there early. You know, people, it's kind of a weird thing But people have this thing, it's called FOMO, you know. And it's not because they're good-hearted in a lot of cases. I'm being honest with you. It's because they feel like they're being left out. We got to do it too. So I got to go to Israel. I got to march to Columbia. You know, this is 3 days after we were at the campus on Monday. And maybe I'm just being a prick. It's possible. I mean, that's certainly my personality to be that way, but I'm not going tomorrow night to march with thousands of people when we had the five of us, literally the five of us, make such a big splash on Monday. And here's my other issue about this march and everything else that's going on today. And I'll say this to D'Esposito. Anthony's going back to Columbia again today with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. They're going there to speak to the Jewish students to offer them some solace. Here's the problem. There are no Jewish students. There's like six, literally six Jewish students left at Columbia. Everybody else went home. They're on Long Island. They're in Westchester. They're in Brooklyn. They're not there. And to Curtis Sliwa's point, he's exactly right. At what point do the Jewish students come out and defend themselves? Forget about Sid Rosenberg showing up or Mike Johnson showing up today. Maybe Trump will show up. I don't know. Maybe he will. When do the Jewish students go out there and say, hey, thanks for all your help. We got this. Is that asking so much? These people are not dangerous. These idiots on the lawn at Columbia. The worst they can do is punch you across the face. So what? I've been there. It actually builds character. So when do we get to the point when, Sid stops showing up, Mike Johnson stops showing up, Suzanne Miller and 6,000 people tomorrow night stop marching? Who cares? When do the Jewish students come out and say, thanks for your help, but we got this? Is that asking too much? No?
No. You know, we've seen some small counter protests, but it'll be like a dozen students at most.
That's fine.
That's it.
That's fine. I'll take that over 6,000 people marching tomorrow night who just want to say, I was there. I'll take it. I'll take five Jews. What did I say Monday? When I started this thing at 6 a.m. Monday morning, I said, if I'm the only person there, I'm going. And you know, all you guys said, that's right, you should go.
Right.
And as it turned out, we had 100 people and three or four big politicians, but I was going to go anyway. I don't care if there's five students. They're the ones that matter. Not us. Not Rudy Giuliani driving by last night. Not Mike Johnson showing up today. The Jewish students, where are you? Get out there, get in these people's faces, and say, get the off of my lawn. Like Clint Eastwood did in Gran Torino. Get off my lawn.
Yeah, but you know what they did instead, and we said this on Monday, is they retreated. That rabbi told them, get off campus, it's too dangerous.
The rabbi was wrong. The rabbi's a pussy. He's a pussy.
Well,
He meant well. I believe in his heart he meant well, but this was the type of thing they said in the 1930s when the Germans were killing us by the millions. You don't retreat. You don't stay home. You go out there and fight. It's your fight, not my fight. It's not Rudy's fight. I mean, look, partly it's all of our fight. I get it. Because we're watching the deterioration of our society, our institutions, our freedoms. So, yeah, I get it. It's partly our fight. But the truth is, these folks need to go out there and fight for themselves. And when they do that, I think, I believe at least, the fight for the rest of us becomes easier. Look, folks, nothing's going to change. I had this discussion with Lou Gelarmino, big-time attorney out on Staten Island, who helped out Curtis and the rebels. I said, you've got an administration, Joe Biden, Antony Blinken, Kirby, Sullivan, all these losers, and you've got academia that is infested with anti-Semites. These are people that feel more strongly about how the Palestinians feel than dead Israeli bodies in the streets. That's the truth. That's the truth. They feel more badly about hurting the Palestinians feelings than dead Jews in the streets. How do you change all this? Elections, that's it. It doesn't matter. Mike Johnson can go there today. Donald Trump can go there tomorrow. I was there Monday. 30,000 people can march Thursday night. You're jerking yourself off. That's all you're doing. It doesn't matter. Infested. Washington, D.C. and academia infested. That's a fact, Noam. It's, you know, not that you sit back and do nothing about it. I went. They'll go today. They'll march tomorrow night. But nothing's going to change unless you start putting people in power that put the Jews first and then the damn Palestinians. Not the other way around. You had the president of the United States say 2 days ago, we are lacking empathy for the Palestinians. You had AOC, this harlot, 2 days ago, out there telling everybody that these peaceful protesters, you should be proud of them. They're our young people. They're the future of our country. Look how well they're doing for a great cause. Peaceful protests. This dingbat said that the same day they arrested 150 people at New York University. How was that a peaceful protest, you dumb whore? That was a bit strong, but
yeah, we can.
Maybe I'm not taking it back.
We can edit that out for a later broadcast. Yeah. It's okay.
So it's 6:29 in the morning, and I've already said horrible things about so many people. And it's early, so if you like this type of stuff, just stay here.
Right. If you're not.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Oi! This is Sid and Friends in the Morning. Friends, how many of us have them?
Friends. 77 WABC.
If y'all feel that it's real, I'm on trial, and I'm here again, your prison. Like a coin in your mint. I am tempted and I'll spend with hot treason. Through a glass eye, your throne is the one danger zone. Take me to the pilot for control. Take
Thought I was quick. You know, I got a text message yesterday. I almost remember the exact time. It was about 5:30 p.m., right before Danielle started finishing up the matzo balls for our Passover Seder. I got a message from George Santos. And he sent me something from somebody on Twitter. I believe it was Twitter. And it said, "Hey, man, good luck in whatever you do next. Keep going on Sid's show." And I said, "See, man, they love you." That's all he said. He laughed and sent me that message, and that was it. And then I came to find out this morning from New York One, that communist liberal pinko channel, that he's out. Remember, it wasn't that long ago. I was in Washington, D.C. for the State of the Union when he decided to run for Congress again. And folks were like, "What do you mean running for Congress? This guy's got like 9 million felony charges." I mean, that's a lot, obviously. That's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. He can't run for Congress. And he said, "No, I'm doing it. That's it. I'm doing it. Lolita, not getting it done, and I'm going to beat him." And for the last, I guess, 4 to 6 weeks, if it's been that long, we were all under the impression that George Santos, although some thought it was beyond ridiculous, again, with the legal issues out there, was going to do it again. But it looks like it is over officially. George Santos has ended, make Peter King happy, he's ended his candidacy for Congress. Now I got to call George and get him on and find out exactly why. I have to think the legal stuff. You know, has there been a statement from George Noem as to exactly why he's decided not to run, besides the obvious?
Yeah, I don't see anything past that. I know that he hadn't raised any money.
Oh, so that's an issue.
Yeah.
And he needs Botox.
Yeah.
So do I.
Needs
so,
a new handbag.
So did Jen.
I like George, but it was just silly. The whole thing was silly. I wish him well with his legal issues. I really do. But I think for now, at least, he's got to put the politics on the back burner, you know. Just for a little while. Just in case something bad happens, you don't know.
It'll give him more time to do those cameos that keep coming in.
Right. Making a ton of money there. My phone is not working. As I said earlier, if you're trying to contact me via Instagram, Facebook, email, the last message I'm able to get is from 14 hours ago.
Well, this will be crippling for the morning.
No, it's fine as long as my text works.
Oh.
Because, you know, the text doesn't work and I can't get messages from Danielle, Ava, Gabe, my mom. That's a big issue.
Well, that's the bigger issue.
Right. Yes. The other stuff, it hurts because, for example, I got a whole bunch of text messages into that first segment because it was brilliant. And if my stuff was working, I'd have 100 DMs.
Well, how do you decide who can contact you through Instagram and who actually gets your phone number to contact you through text?
Yeah, I don't give out my phone number much anymore. It becomes too much. People, they take advantage, you know. I'm serious. And, you know, they start texting you when you're at dinner. They'll text you early on a weekend morning. And they're just selfish, so I stopped giving out my number. So, you know, like fans, for example, we've got some amazing fans. Olga, who actually showed up Monday at the rally, she's a family friend at this point. Pat, she's a family friend at this point. My friend Lynn, my friend Jitlada, these are all friends at this point, you know. Oh, Lou Rapino just texted me. And he said,
"What did he say?
What a great segment. Don't stop, brother." Which is what I would have gotten from Liz and a bunch of other people, you know, Anthony, who knows who. Thank you, Lewis.
I've just wanted to make sure it's still working.
Yeah, the text is working fine, but which is good because, as I said earlier, it's like a second job, man. You got to answer all these. If my mom comes on and she makes people cry, I get hundreds of DMs, and I feel like if I don't answer every one, they're like, "Oh, what a dick Sid is," which I'm not, but I just can't do it. And, you know, it takes my focus off the show. And
no, does it?
No. I mean, I can do this thing. Oh, Noam Layden just texted me. Let me see what he has to say. Fantastic opening, Sid. So, thank you, guys.
So it's happening. You're getting. Next will be Curtis. Next will be Curtis.
You guys are idiots. You really
are. Curtis is over. Oh, you forgot about these three people. Yeah. But good job.
It is a Wednesday. You know what happens on Wednesday? Frank Siller, the great CEO of Tunnel to Towers. We do his update every Wednesday morning, the Tunnel to Towers update. Now, he'll text me. Today's segment spotlights a hero from the Foundation's Fallen First Responder Home Program.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation believes it's essential to recognize and appreciate the sacrifices our first responder heroes make to ensure our safety and security. Lieutenant Ethan Quillen of the Paw Paw, Michigan Fire Department exemplifies this sacrifice. Last year, Quillen tragically perished in the line of duty when a tree branch struck a power line, taking his life in the process. He survived by his beautiful wife, Caitlin, and their daughter, Logan. Lieutenant Quillen's selflessness and unwavering courage in the face of danger are exactly what the Tunnel to Towers Foundation strives to honor. The Foundation's Fallen First Responder Home Program paid off the mortgage on Officer Quillen's family home, ensuring his wife and children always have a place to call home. Join the Foundation on its mission to provide mortgage-free homes to America's heroes and the families they leave behind. Just donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Tunnel to Towers. Do good and never forget.
That's right, folks. Never forget. Join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on its mission to do good in honor of America's heroes. Donate just $11 a month at T2T.org.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionJenkins.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers. Start on the ice here at the Garden. Vincent Trocheck, Mika Zibanejad each had a goal and an assist, and the Rangers held on to beat the Capitals 4-3 last night for a 2-0 lead in their first round playoff series. Roslovich and Miller also scored for the Rangers, and Eric Gustafson and Alexi Lafreniere each had,
you know,
two
talking
assists.
About text messages and the Rangers. So you know that for years now, we've got this tradition. Joseph Tacopina, he'll be on Friday. Pete Morgan, the aforementioned Pete Morgan, he sponsors this. And me, we do a three-way text during the Ranger games. But I don't get involved now. These psychos like Pete Morgan was complaining about Wes McCauley last night. I mean, Pete, you got to get a hold of yourself. It's game two of the first round. So they're like going on and on, Tacopina and Morgan. I'm like, guys, can you save this for like the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah.
I mean, Tacopina's not even here. So I didn't respond. I know Pete's listening right now because he made fun of Joe Nolan. Where are your devils at? But, you know, you got to save some of this passion for this. This series is a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to win this in 4 or 5, whatever it is. And
they should.
Start complaining about Wes McCauley in game two. I mean, well, no one likes Pete Morgan more than me, but, you know, this is a crazy. This is the type of guy that calls up Brandon and Sal and is angry about the Mets after 19 games.
Right. Plus, you're setting a high bar. So now he's got to bring the same exact energy for every single game.
Now,
the rest
every
of the
game, I can't do that. So.
Yes. Right. Well, if you're going to win, that's where you got the passion has to start somewhere.
There you go.
I think I'll start it in the second round.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, wait, I don't.
Yeah. Right. You need passion right now because the Isles are basically dead against Carolina.
Yeah, I've watched my team through the worst, okay?
So have I.
Yeah. I'm not waiting for the sunny day. Oh, let's go Rangers!
Well, I am.
I'm not too cocky.
I'm not getting involved in a three-way text.
Cocky,
game
though.
Two of round one. It's crazy.
I'm emailing Wes McCauley right now for Pete. What is up with that?
Game three of the best of seven set Friday at Washington. In baseball, Anthony Rizzo snapped a lengthy power drought, two-run homer that capped a four-run first inning. The Yanks held on for a 4-3 win over the Oakland A's. Up next for them, game 3-4 against Oakland tonight, 7:05. Clark Schmidt gets a start out west. The Mets ended up on the losing side of things, falling 5-1 in game 2 of 3 against the Giants in San Francisco. They'll try and salvage the series finale against San Fran this afternoon. Scheduled for a 3:45 p.m. first pitch. Lefty Sean Manaea taking the hill there. That's sports, sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTechless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Oh, you're my best friend.
Boy.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
On your hump day Wednesday morning. So last year, you guys may remember, before we start bringing in this great guest list today, great guest list, Curtis Sliwa, who's great every day. I can't give Curtis Sliwa enough credit. He's great every day. Sliwa, Anthony D'Esposito, Nicole Maliotakis, so in consecutive fashion, two very honored members of Congress. Peter King, the former great congressman, and then Mike Lee Knerick will join us. Here's a guy that was given to me by Michelle Lubin, who started the Jexit, group down in South Florida, Jews exiting the Democrat Party. And this guy is the real deal. This guy is the founder of the Haganah system. It's an Israeli hybrid martial arts, designer of the Orev knives. He wrote a book called The Machine of Life. He's a former IDF soldier. He's a real tough guy. And he's going to show up, I believe, Friday to go to Columbia. That's like the new thing. You tour Columbia like it's the Empire State Building, you know. Become a tourist spot now. But you remember last year, guys, when I won that award, the Warren Brandeis Award from the Metropolitan Club, my friends Ian, Chris Olenzo. It was about this time last year, and there was a big dinner. They also gave an award that night to Rudy Giuliani. In fact, they were picketing outside the place about Rudy. And they also gave an award that night to the guy, I always forget his name, he's got three names, Lewis knows it, who had Hunter Biden's laptop.
Oh, John Paul MacIsaac.
Right, that guy. Yeah. Four names, I think.
Whatever, 17.
Right, so
six.
The new one is... The new event, this year's event, is this Friday night. So last year, I won the Warren Brandeis Award, which is integrity in journalism. Who has more integrity than me? I've already called AOC a whore and Chuck Schumer an asshole this morning. I guess that means I've got integrity. I don't know. So this year, they're giving that award to Greg Kelly, my colleague here at WABC, Greg Kelly, who deserves it, of course. And they're also giving out awards to Tom Homan, Alina Haba, the lovely Donald Trump attorney, very good friend of mine. And you ready for this one? Gordon Chang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Gordon and Lydia are going to be there, not Sarani, his wife, Lydia Chang, coming up on Friday night. It's a big night. Big, big night. Now, I can't tell you where I'm going to be because of security issues, but I'm going to go kind of like, I guess, the Masters. You know how last year's winner at the Masters shows up and gives the green jacket to the this year's winner? You know how that works, Noam?
Yeah.
So I said to these people, Ian, Krisha, all the people in charge, why wouldn't you do it that way? Like have last year's winner give the award this year.
That makes sense, yeah.
They love the idea, but it's too late. So, for example, Greg Kelly giving him the award, this kind of makes sense, I think you'd agree, is a real New York hero, former police commissioner, his father, Ray Kelly.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
That makes a whole bunch of sense.
Yeah,
and by the way,
that.
Even if he wasn't his father, Ray Kelly is such an amazing man, that's a great honor. But moving forward, you know.
You could hand Gordon Chang's, though. You could... Right?
Well,
doesn't he get? Isn't he getting it? Oh, he's not getting it.
No, he is getting an award.
Well, then,
but he's not getting the award that I won last year.
Oh, okay.
Kelly is.
Well,
but I could still give it to Gordon because Gordon and I are very, very tight.
Yeah. Well, If things were of a different nature right now, Sid, I would accept this award. We have so many issues going on and crises going on. This award has probably come off the backs of so many badly paid and overworked people in Asia.
That is a great impression. But what's funny about what Lewis just did is that there's no question that even this celebratory night, Gordon Chang is going to find a way to tell all of us we are moments from death. Moments. The Chinese are watching this as we speak. And the Chinese would love nothing more than to kill Sid Rosenberg, Greg Kelly, Alina Haba, and me. He's going to say it, I swear to God.
So as Santa Claus said, be good for goodness sake. Because impending doom is on the way. I'd like to thank everybody for this award.
Fifty cloudy on this Wednesday, April 24th. Good morning, I'm Noam Layden. Pro-Palestinian protesters who have taken over the green on Columbia University's campus were told they had to clear out by midnight last night, but they're still there this morning.
It gives me so much hope that students are standing up for what they believe in. You look at history, students have always been on the right side of history.
I've seen that buses of students getting arrested.
A Columbia University spokesperson says protesters overnight committed to dismantling and removing a significant number of tents, but not all of them. They've also agreed to kick out any protesters that are not students on the Ivy League campus. Meanwhile, virtual classes continue for those who don't feel safe walking around the campus today. Senate passed a major foreign aid package last night, $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel. The bill also includes a provision that could lead to the ban of TikTok.
I think it is something that we're going to have to do something about. The best approach would be if they were to divest and to allow for American ownership. If not, then we're probably going to have to eliminate it from the platform.
South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds there. 170 million Americans on TikTok. Lawmakers say the Chinese company is using TikTok to steal information from Americans. 26-year-old shot and killed middle of the day, Crown Heights yesterday. Bullets flew 4 p.m. Rogers Avenue. Police have no motive for the gunfire, have made no arrests. Tennessee teachers could be packing heat in the classroom soon.
The bill allows for specially trained teachers to carry handguns in their classrooms, and parents would not know if their kid's teacher was armed or not. The measure passed the State House Tuesday along party lines, with only four Republicans voting against it. Republican Governor Bill Lee has indicated support for the measure, but says he needs to see all the details before signing. I'm Mark Mayfield.
FDA says the bird flu virus has been detected in some samples of pasteurized milk now in the U.S. They made the announcement less than a month after the outbreak of bird flu was found in herds of dairy cows for the first time. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Could see a shower this morning, sun and clouds this afternoon, high 69. 7:02 now, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk and Justin Ellis.
Well, thank you, Noam Layden. Sports sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTechless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers. Start on the ice here at the Garden. Big win for the Rangers last night. Vinny Trocheck, Mika Zibanejad, each a goal and an assist. And the Blue Shirts holding on to beat the Capitals 4-3. Take a 2-0 series lead in their first round playoff set here. Game 3, best of 7 series is set for Friday at Washington. X2 will be in Washington, actually. In baseball, Anthony Rizzo snapped a lengthy power drought with a 2-run homer that capped a 4-run first inning. And the Yankees held on for a 4-3 win over the the Oakland A's up next for the Bombers. Game 3 of 4 against Oakland tonight at 7:05 p.m. Clark Schmidt scheduled to take the bump out west. The Mets ended up on the losing side of things, falling 5-1 in Game 2 of 3 against the Giants in San Fran. They'll try and salvage a series finale against San Francisco this afternoon and avoid a sweep there. That's 3:45 p.m. first pitch. Lefty Sean Manaea will be taking the hill. That's your sports sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC Time Check 703, sponsored by Boulevard Watches. Discover finely crafted timepieces available at Macy's. Traffic, transit now. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, traffic is definitely a little lighter than usual today from the RayCatina.com traffic desk. Still, though, delays coming in from about Main Street into Queens Boulevard, inbound on the LIE, and then again as you get into the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway on the BQE Gowanus itself. You're slow from the Prospect coming up towards the Brooklyn Bridge. Big delay on the Van Wyck southbound now coming down into Linden Boulevard. There was a stall there in the left lane. Looks like that might be cleared, but you still have quite a bit of heavy traffic on the northbound side. Then on the Long Island Expressway on the outbound side, a little like Parkway, an accident, one lane out. There's quite a bit of heavy traffic as you get through that. A little slow on the Grand Central getting in through LaGuardia. Cross Bronx, not too bad. Just westbound getting through the Bronx River Parkway and up the 3rd Avenue Hill. Coming inbound of the George Washington Bridge, about a 20-minute delay. Same thing at the Lincoln. And actually a little less than that, inbound at the Holland Tunnel. And New Jersey Transit train, still Hudson Bergen light rail, no service. Newport to 2nd and Newport to Hoboken. That because of overhead wire problems, alternate side is suspended. If you're looking for a vehicle at a great value, a luxury vehicle at a great value, consider a certified pre-owned Jaguar sedan or SUV from Ray Catena. Choose from a wide selection of Ray Catena Jaguar of Edison or Jaguar Marlboro and enjoy special limited time financing on all in-stock models. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Run to you, 7:07, your Wednesday morning, hump day, Tunnel to Towers, Wednesday morning. You know, you were doing the sports there, Justin. Not only have the Mets lost 3 in a row, I know they're not the big story right now. The Rangers are up 2-0. They resume their series in Washington on Friday. The Knicks are up 2-0. They resume their series tomorrow night in Philly. The Islanders are down 2-0. They resume their series tomorrow night at home. So baseball is on the back burner. But not only have the Mets lost 3 in a row, just less than a week after Brandon and Sal were yelling and screaming how good they are, and they may be a playoff team. If my math is correct in those 3 losses, they've been outscored 20-1, 10-0 loss to the Dodgers Sunday, 5-0 loss to the Giants Monday, 5-1 loss to the Giants Tuesday.
5-2 on Monday.
Okay. So 20-2.
Yeah.
They've been outscored in those 3 losses.
20-3 because 5-1 last night.
Oh, they got 3. 20-3.
20-3. Okay.
So the question becomes, are the Mets, the team that started the year 0-5 and is now mired in a 3-game losing streak, being outscored 20-3, or the team that won 11 out of 14 in between?
Yeah, you would think there's some middle ground here that they might that they might taper off.
I think they're closer to a bad team.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
I just don't think they have the depth to be the other.
Neither
team.
Do I. But there is good news today besides the Mets. Well, that's bad news. But there is good news. I just saw. This is great. that, yes, Columbia University has made progress in their negotiations with the terrorists. Yeah, that's right. They're calling them protesters on television. They're terrorists. What did I say on the microphone, on the news? You saw it on Monday. If you are pro-terrorist, in my opinion, you're a terrorist. Since when does the United States of America negotiate with terrorists? Go into those encampments at Columbia, at Harvard, at Yale, all these pricey, despicable Ivy League schools, and walk in there with bats and bash these mother effers over the head. Set their tents on fire and bash these mother effers over the head. What do you mean? We've made some progress here. We're going to give them two more days to negotiate. This President Shafik, to me, is a public enemy. She is. Negotiating with terrorists, and even Fox News saying this morning, well, maybe they didn't say it, Columbia did, we're making progress. How about you folks? Pretty nauseating to me. He is the host of the Rip and Read, noon to one every weekday afternoon, gets big ratings, does a great job hosting overnights on the weekends. He's with me every morning. Nobody tougher, the icon, the legend, Mr. Guardian Angel, than Curtis Sliwa. And I know he shares my frustration when he sees the same headlines that we're making progress negotiating with protesters who I call terrorists.
That's exactly what Neville Chamberlain told all the Brits. We're making progress with Adolf Hitler. We will end up saving Europe. You know something, Sid? I have to be the person calling out all the Jews, the self-hating Jews, like the Jewish collaborators of the Nazis in the Jewish ghetto in Warsaw. I was in Warsaw. I saw the pictures. There were Jews that sold out other Jews that licked the boots of the Nazis, hoping that they would be personally saved from the ovens.
You remember the summer of George Floyd? The BLM summer, just akin to what you just said, when there were white people, pandering, disgusting white people, licking the feet and rubbing the feet of black people. You remember that, right?
And taking a knee. Take a knee. Give up. Surrender. And you Jews are going to be out there Thursday night screaming, never again.
Not me.
Never again. But Sid.
Not
never
me.
Again. Never forget the Jewish leaders who turned their backs on the Jews. Number one, he still has not surfaced. The congressman of the 12th Congressional District, which includes Columbia University, Morningside Heights, Gerald the Whale Nadler.
Well, he's skinny now, but let me tell you why this is no surprise. I'm not telling you. You know the deal. But if you guys do your homework, you're going to find out that when Barack Obama, who hates us, hates the Jews, when Barack Obama and John Kerry put together that Iran deal, which Joe Biden still lives by the way, that's why he's anything but pro-Israel. When they put together that Iran deal, Jewish people know, of course, that Iran wants to eliminate Israel, wants to destroy Israel. So you would think that any Jewish politician, any Democrat or Republican, would never be okay with a deal with Iran. But guess who was? At the time, fat and stupid, now just stupid, Jerry Nadler.
Ah, he's the congressman. He has not surfaced. By the way, did you know, Sid, he's a proud graduate of Columbia University?
Yes, he is, Curtis.
With his B.A. in 1969, or as I would call it, B.S. degree. He ran against Carolyn Maloney when they merged their district, and he actually went out in the streets and said, if you don't elect me over Carolyn Maloney, you won't have any Jews in the congressional delegation in New York City. And so many of you schmuck, putz, pisher, schmendrick Jews bought that. Where's your leader now, huh? Where's your sellout leader now? Gerald the Whale Nadler, I'll be the only Jew left. But you got to elect me, Jews to Jews. Well, he knows how to do the Jewish connection then. And then naturally his leader, The schmuck, the putz, Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer. What did I tell you in those initial rallies? Rally killers. They had Schumer speak. I told you, you had Schumer speak. All the young people left. All the young people said, we've heard this speech from Schumer 29,000 times. It's the same freaking speech. But all your Jewish markers said, oh, the number one Jew in America who sold out Israel. And the person you all made fun of. All of you, including the Jews who make suits, the big schmata guys. Fetterman, look at Fetterman with the hoodie on and the shorts and the sneakers. Fetterman, he's probably one of the squad members. The most loyal person in Washington, D.C. to the Jewish interests has been the U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, Fetterman. Let me lay it out for you.
Well, that's true, by the way. Even Brian Kilmeade said on the show yesterday, he said, I can't believe I'm saying this. But I have to give credit to John Fetterman.
Let me tell you, opposition to the ceasefire. His walls outside of his Senate office had all the pictures of the hostages. Did Schumer's office or Gerald Nadler, the self-hating Jews, have it? He draped himself, Fetterman did it, in Israeli flag. When you walk into his Senate office, behind his desk is the Israeli flag. Oh, but how many Jews say, look how he's dressed. He doesn't have a suit and a tie. Let's elect Oz. Oz, who praises... Who? Oh, Erdogan from Turkey. He has a Turkish passport. Erdogan, who called Hamas martyrs, freedom fighters. I guess him and Eric Adams have dual citizenship in Turkey, right, with Turkish passports. Come on. Wake up, Jews.
Well, Dr. Oz also had another strike against him, and that is that no one would know Dr. Oz's name. Nobody, if it was not for one person, and she's not exactly a friend of ours, Oprah Winfrey, who I used to love. I used to watch Oprah's show every day, and I look, she's a great story. She went through a lot, sexual abuse, made herself into a billionaire, smart lady, congratulations, but not a friend of ours. And Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, all these folks are household names today because of Oprah.
Yeah, but still, Dr. Oz had a Turkish passport.
Yes, he did.
When he was asked to renounce Erdogan again. Erdogan, that's right, Eric Adams. Erdogan, who called Hamas, first one out of the box after October 7th.
Why do you keep mentioning Eric Adams' name?
Well, he loves Turkey. I mean, how many times has he gone back and forth? He loves those Turkish dollars of Erdogan. But Erdogan was the first leader to praise Hamas. They're freedom fighters. They're martyrs. He's an anti-Semite. Dr. Oz would not renounce him. Eric Adams would not renounce him because, let's face it, they might have profited greatly from Erdogan. But anyway... Let's move back to the list.
Well, how many got so far on the list? We've got Nadler.
We got Nadler and Schumer. Hey, by the way, Mr. Super, I'm Jewish, I speak Hebrew, our news director, Noam Layden. Since the rest of the press corps won't reach out to Gerald the Whale Nadler and find out why he's missing in action, Noam, you better have that information by the time of the rip and read today at 12. Because if you don't have it, Nancy will have it. How embarrassing that Nancy will have the information.
And then if Nancy gets the information before the Jew Noam, something tells me that Curtis will expand the list from 4 to 5 and add Noam Layden.
Exactly, although he did speak fluent Hebrew and translated that Israeli general in that fake war that
yes,
he called.
Did do that. Yes.
But anyway, let's talk about, nobody's talking about the chancellor. The chancellor of Columbia University. No, it's not Eisenhower. He had been that before he became president. Shafiq. Manoush Shafiq, the mini-me of AOC. Manoush Shafiq, who is Manoush Shafiq? Have you heard any reports to describe her as being born and raised in Alexandria, Egypt? And I thought you say Alexandria, maybe she's Coptic Christian. No, both parents Muslim. And do you know that at the time she was 4 years old in 1966, Nasser, who was the dictator of Egypt, took her parents' property and kicked them out of Egypt. You would have thought she would have said, I hate these. These Muslims, they kicked me out, right? Like they kicked the Jews out for so many years. And who has she sided with?
She has sided with those extremists on the campus. 48 hours. We should have the CBS TV program. Tick, 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 tick.
48 hours. See, I didn't know the history of her family.
Well, how come the press hasn't brought it to our attention?
Because when I heard her name, Shafiq, it's not exactly Levine, Schwartz, or Rosenberg. I already knew what team she was on, but not on my team.
It doesn't matter. Why is the press not bringing this to our attention? Nadler, Shafiq, and then, and I mentioned it yesterday, but I'm going to give you more. Who is our Secretary of State who goes around the world to negotiate all of our differences with other countries and with our allies? It's Anthony Blinken.
It's actually Antony Blinken.
Antony. Yeah. Born and raised in Yonkers, always fancies himself as Steven Tyler. He likes to grab that guitar and show you, yeah, I can play like Steven Tyler, who was also from Yonkers, from Aerosmith. His stepfather was the only Holocaust survivor of 900 children in his school in Poland. Remember the guy with that schmatt on his head who told the Jews, go back to Poland? You better believe Anthony Blinken should have realized he's talking about my stepfather, who is the only Holocaust survivor in his school in Poland. He graduated Columbia Law School. He was in the Situation Room sitting right next to his friend Barack Obama, also, who went to Columbia University when they whacked Osama bin Laden. How come the press is not asking Anthony Blinken, what do you think? Or even, the God, Barack Obama. Hey, Noam Layden, do your freaking job. You ain't flipping. I want to know by 12 noon, what's the statement of Barack Obama? Because the press has protected him. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, claims he's a proud Jew, went to Columbia Law School. Gerald the Whale Nadler, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. Why are they protecting all these Jew haters?
This is a very good list of four people. The good news is you don't have to wait until noon. Here he is, our news director, Noam Layden.
Well, Nancy must have done an incredibly deep dive to look for this statement from Jerry Nadler, because he actually released it on Sunday night, saying that he issued this statement condemning anti-Semitism on the campus of Columbia University. It took me all of about 6 seconds to find, by the way. He says that we've witnessed what could be legitimate debate venture into dangerous anti-Semitic rhetoric, attacks and intimidation on Columbia University campus, condemnation of the anti-Semitism and bigotry facing the Jewish community, especially with Passover beginning.
Oh, come on. We're losing our freaking audience here, Noam.
This is what you said. You were calling out Jerry the Whale Nadler, but he made a statement Sunday night.
Excuse me. Where has he been? Has he been at Columbia University?
I can find out for you.
With the expert investigation
you've done, Goldman, he's probably been on Goldman, the campus,
oh,
too.
Really? You want to bet some shekels on that?
I would bet some shekels on it because clearly you didn't see the statement from him.
Gerald the Whale Nadler's anti-Semitic self-hating ass.
By the way, he goes on to say, no Jewish person in our great city should fear for their safety. This was Sunday night the statement came out.
Really?
Nancy and you apparently had a very hard time finding it.
How do you miss the whale up at Columbia University? Hey, Sid, when you were up there, did you see the whale walking down the block?
No, I didn't see any of these people, any of those people on your list. I saw none of them. Zero, none, zero.
Shafiq, the Muslim chancellor, gave a tour of Columbia University to the four Democratic congressmen who were there the same time you were there, Sid. They didn't give you a tour.
No, I didn't even know that was going on. I don't want a tour. Listen, I made the point this morning. I know you heard me, Curtis.
You ass-kissing, Noam Layden.
You son of a bitch, Noam. Although Noam did find it in 7 seconds. Got to give him credit.
Seven. Actually, it might have been six and a half.
So you're going to give a pass? I send out a press release. Oysmay.
So here's my point.
Israel.
All right, fine. So this morning I said this. We were there on Monday. We were the first. Now they're all coming, right? Today, Mike Johnson, Anthony D'Esposito.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
What Jews? There are no Jews left on the campus.
I know
that. Who are they meeting with?
I know that.
You couldn't even put together a minion of the students on the campus.
Well, to Curtis's point, you need 10 folks for a minion. They've got about 5 or 6 Jews left.
Watch, they'll hire some black guys from Harlem.
Probably.
Hey, could you pretend to be Ethiopian Jews just for this occasion so we have a minion to meet with?
So then I start getting all these texts yesterday. You gotta join us. Sid, you gotta join us.
Thursday night, the United for Israel March. What does that even mean? United for Israel March. This is not about Israel. I mean, it could be, I guess, but so anyway, so like thousands of people are going to start marching.
Who's the leader?
Who the hell knows?
Who's the head marker?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're going to have Schumer there again, bore the hell out of everybody.
I don't know if Schumer's going to be there. I got this from either Suzanne Miller or Jill Zarin. I don't know.
Wait. Are they young people?
Are they what?
Young.
No, they're not young people.
As you mentioned in the start of your program, where are the young Jews?
That's my point.
What, are they hiding under their Castro convertibles?
Well, they're not there right now. They're home for Passover. But we got to get to the point where the Sid Rosenbergs, the Anthony D'Espositos, the Mike Johnsons, the thousands of you who have finally come to the party, welcome. Tomorrow night, start marching.
No.
Where are the Jewish kids?
When do the Jewish students go out there,
right.
Sid? You said that at the start of your program. You couldn't have been more hopelessly right. Oh, but all the Jewish parents and the boobies and zaders, leave that to the Gentiles. Leave that to them. They know how to get rough and tough. In Israel, that's not the case. Those are real Jews. Those are tough Jews. They don't surrender. They don't retreat. You know who we need to lead this rally down Broadway?
Who? You?
Senator Fetterman. We should
No, we can't have it.
Oh, let me tell you something.
He's a psycho, too.
Wait a second, psycho? What about your psycho Schumer? Where's he going to be? Where's Nadler going to be? Where are all these? Oh, they love to put the yarmulke on. I daven, I read Torah, I read Talmud. They sold their own people out. At least Fetterman was there and said no, absolutely no to the ceasefire. Outside of his Senate office, he had the photos of all the hostages. Did Schumer have them? Did Nadler have them? What about the other Jewish elected officials? He draped himself in the Israeli flag. When you walk into his Senate office, on the back wall, he has a big Israeli flag. Do you think Schumer has that? Do you think Nadler has that? Oh, but look how he's dressed. He doesn't have a schmata on. Oh, he's got sneakers and shorts and a hoodie. He's more of a Jew than all of them together. I stand with Fetterman, who stands for Israel and America. Schumer and Nadler, as they always have, stand only for themselves. And that was exactly what the Jewish sellouts in the Warsaw Ghetto, who were the police, stood for. Themselves. And they sent their own people to the ovens. And then guess what? Eventually the Nazis sent them to the ovens too. Remember your history. It's 1938 all over again.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients, and they will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read their 5-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today, 800-560-0214 for a free consultation. Or email them at info@gabolaw.com. That's GABOlaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
We get some money and we buy a cheap Hawaii. Sit on the corner and have a holiday. Hide the bottle when the cop goes by. Talk about women and lie, lie, lie. Oh, my other world is just a half a mile away. Ooh-hoo. The lights crawl on the roof and then I hit the night. I should be sleeping, but tonight I just can't stay. I've given everybody so much time. Now I need a moment that's my oh, my other world is just a half a mile away.
Half a mile away. Great song, Billy Joel. Underrated album, 52nd Street, Stiletto, Zanzibar, all those great songs. Raining out, 7:36, your Wednesday morning. Do love this song. Anthony D'Esposito, great Long Island congressman, is set to join me coming up. He's going to go back to Columbia. He was there with me Monday, second time in 3 days. Today, he'll be going with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. It's a big deal, no? Big deal, Lewis.
It is. Mike Johnson?
Mike Johnson.
Crazy.
Mike Lowry. Now, what movie was that? Mike Lowry. Come on. Come on. I'll give you a hint.
You got to give me more than that.
Two African-American, screw that, two black guys playing cops down in Miami.
Eddie Murphy.
No.
Beverly Hills.
No, he was one black guy. Didn't he work with the white guy?
Nick Nolte, right?
Well, Nick Nolte was 48 Hours.
So that was Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Okay.
Two black guys down in Miami. Mike Lowry. I'll give you another hint. You ready for this?
No.
Shanane.
That helped out a lot.
You never watched the Martin Lawrence show?
Okay. It's Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
There we go. Okay. What was the name of the movie, though?
Same
name as a Sean Penn movie.
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Yes. Oh, that Sean Penn movie. Scary. Actually.
That was a great movie.
That was really in prison. Wow.
Despo is about to join us next.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
But you say he's just a friend.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi! We will continue to fight that good fight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly an attack on democracy. It's an attack on our values. When we hear death to Israel, death to America, it's a threat to all of us. This is not a political thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's the right thing to stand behind Israel, stand behind its people, and do the right thing.
That's Anthony D'Esposito, the great congressman out of Long Island. He's only got about 5 minutes. He's going on that Pococka television station across the street. So Let's get right to him. He's heading back to Columbia today, University, for the second time in 3 days. This time not with Sid Rosenberg, but with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Anthony, first of all, great job Monday. How great was that?
Oh, it was amazing. Listen, it came together nice and quick. What started at 6 o'clock in the morning quickly got into a great rally. We had County Executive Blakeman there, Congressman Lawler, and you rocked it. I mean, you really did a great job. You spoke from the heart, and I think that's what a lot of people needed to hear. And like I said in that day, and I've been saying ever since, this is not political. It's about doing the right thing. But unfortunately, it seems like the other side of the aisle are doing the wrong thing.
I like Mike Johnson. He's coming under a lot of fire. Ted Cruz is upset today. So is Marjorie Taylor Greene. By the way, I hate the bill. I hate it. $60 billion to Ukraine. I know we have to compromise at some point to get money for Israel. Wasn't a lot of money for Israel and no money for America. I hate the bill. But I like Mike Johnson. I think he's doing a good job. He's doing the best he can in a razor-thin majority. And he's going out there today. Why is he doing that? What did he tell you?
Well, we spoke to him over the last couple of days since we were there on Monday morning, and he asked, you know, what it was like. And I said, what you're seeing on TV is the real thing. I said, you know, you got the NYPD doing the best that they can in the streets, holding back what at times seems like animals trying to wreak havoc and cause harm and put fear in people. And I said, I think it would send a real strong message to the Jewish students of Columbia who come from all throughout the country. They have elected leaders, especially someone like the Speaker of the House who stands with them. And I think today is going to send a clear and concise message that doing the right thing is being there and making sure that they're kept safe and calling out these ridiculous decisions by the university to send everyone home and learn remotely because they don't have the ability to keep these students safe.
I agree. I think it's important Johnson shows up. Congratulations to Mike for going today. You're talking about Shafiq. We all called for her resignation on Monday. All of us, me, you, Blakeman, Lawler, Rappaport, all of us. She's still there. And now she's negotiating with terrorists. I said it Monday. I'll say it again. If you are pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine, you're a terrorist. That's all you are. You're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists. And now we're giving these animals another 48 hours? How about we go there with bats and bash them over the freaking face?
It's ridiculous. The only thing that should happen is Hamas should surrender and they should release all the hostages. Then we can have a conversation. Until then, we need to make sure that we provide Israel every resource necessary to eradicate terrorists from this planet and make sure that the Jewish students here have everything that they need to be kept safe.
Do you agree that negotiating, giving these people another 48 hours, why would we do that? Why wouldn't Shafiq, the chancellor, just say last night, you know what, it's past midnight, time to tear that nasty encampment down?
How about this? Forget negotiations. Show some leadership. I mean, you had AOC tweeting yesterday. I don't know if you saw my tweet. AOC saying, well, mostly everyone out there is peaceful.
Yeah, I killed. Did I see the tweet? I called her a whore on Twitter yesterday, so yes.
They're lighting flags on fire. People are getting stabbed in the eyes with flags. I mean, if that doesn't sound peaceful to me. The president of the university should show a spine. She should stand up and do what's right. But we both know that that is not going to happen. When she sat in front of the Education and Workforce Committee, she didn't even have the ability to agree that from the river to the sea, Palestine is free is an anti-Semitic chant. It directly calls for the destruction of the state of Israel and the Jewish people. And she didn't have the ability to tell the committee that that is anti-Semitic. That's who we're dealing with. So there's no time to negotiate. There's no more discussions to be had. She needs to resign or be removed from her position. And someone needs to get in there that actually has leadership qualities and a backbone and is willing to stand up to do the right thing.
So are you and Mike in the final 60 seconds? You're going on in a couple of minutes. Are you going to be talking exclusively about your trip to Columbia today? Will there be some bill conversation? What is your TV appearance all about?
I think that it's going to be a little bit of both. You know, we're visiting the Chabad when we first get there, so I think we're going to see how we're received there and the conversations that we have. And I think that the speaker is going to have the ability to tell the American people exactly what we're seeing and not only what the mainstream media is reporting. And I think that's what's important. And these Jewish students during Pesach should know, again, that there are elected elite leaders across the country, even though the leader of the Senate and the highest ranking Jew in the country is not standing by them. You have a Speaker of the House from the state of Louisiana that's coming into New York to show that he stands arm in arm with them. God, I want to kiss your face. You're Italian and you go Pesach. You don't even go Passover. You go Pesach. I told you, text yesterday. We texted each other the same thing at the same time. You're more Jewish than most Jews. I mean, I am saying this morning, D'Esposito is more of a Jew to me than Schumer. And I appreciate all you've done, pro-Israel, standalone Israel bills, going to Columbia twice in 3 days, going to Israel post-October the 7th. You really are a dear, dear friend of the Jewish community in Israel, and I love you. Good luck with Mike Johnson on TV and at the campus today. I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much. Love you, brother. Toda. Love you, too. There he is, Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, on his way back to Columbia University for the second time in 3 days, this time with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Still lots more to do, folks. Another great congressperson, lady, Staten Island, Brooklyn, Nicole Malliotakis. She's going to join us. The greatest ever congressman out of Long Island, Peter King. He's going to join us. And a very special guest in the 9 o'clock hour. His name is Mike Lee Kanarek, and he was recommended to me by my friend Michelle Lubin down in Florida, who started Jexit, a group that begs Jews to exit the Democrat Party. You've got people like Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders. No thank you. This guy Mike Lee Kanarek is a guy that actually came up with a brand new, well, it's a couple years old now, but new martial arts, Israeli martial arts, called the Haganah. He's also a guy that is very, very good when it comes to using knives, a big-time IDF specialist, making his debut and on his way to New York to help the fight at Columbia. All that coming up today. Bugs, Eye of the Tiger.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Days and I'm like on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I swear to God. I don't know why I didn't. Oh, you know what it is? I do the 3 days on, 1 day off. Because a lot of you folks who lift weights out there don't understand that almost as important as lifting weights is allowing your muscles to rest. You don't do that, you're not going to build. So a lot of you morons go every day. Now you work different body parts, I get it, but your cycles. You can go every day if you mix in cardio, I guess, or work on legs, which I don't do very often. That's tiresome, too. Hey, when's your leg day? Shut up. So I go three on, one off, you know. So I took off 2 days ago, but yesterday, and I was at the rally anyway, yesterday I took off again.
Everybody was tired, and Danielle was making Passover dinner. So I'm at that point. If I go 72 hours without working out, I get crazy. So I got to go today. Sean Cerrone and Burn Fitness, I'm on the way. One more note. You know, I was made aware of this video, this white trash psycho girl who would have been a hero. She's white trash, but she could have been a hero for what she did to Eric Adams. If you haven't seen the video, Adams is on a flight coming back from Miami. Yes, he went to Miami. Monday, the first day of Passover, we've got terrorists all over Columbia, terrorists all over NYU, and the mayor of this city goes to some fucked-up conference down in Miami. Just a terrible job, awful judgment. Should have canceled it. Didn't do it. Went to Miami. So he's on the flight home yesterday, and some girl walks over. Somebody's filming this. And she goes, hey, are you Eric Adams? So he's expecting she's going to be like, you know, oh, wow, cool. He's like, yeah. She's like, F you. All you do is party. What about the genocide in Israel? You know, but now she's pro-Palestinian. So I didn't play it this morning because she's the enemy. She's white trash. Now, I agree with her sentiments on the mayor. I've been very, very, very tough on the mayor. I don't meet him anymore for lunch, for dinner. He doesn't meet me. He probably can't stand me either at this point. I'm sure Joanne Arriola can't stand me. I'm sure many others, politicians who I criticize on this show, can't stand me. But it doesn't matter. I'm still going to rip you a new anus until you do the right thing. Even if you don't have the power to do the right thing, act like you care. Going for lunch on South Beach, when I'm standing outside Columbia University, that doesn't work for me. So this girl goes nuts on him. It was gorgeous. If she would have just left out the part about Palestine, she'd be a hero today. Instead, she's just white trash who, for the most part, delivered a very accurate message, which is, all you do is party. She actually said that. All you do is party. What else do you do? All you do is party. So it was nice to see an everyday person, psycho, enemy, despicable person. Nevertheless, she did deliver the right message to Adams, which is stop traveling, stop partying, stop making excuses, do something. Like the T-shirt we're selling right now at the store at WABCRadio.com, do something.
There is a perception that I'm partying. You are not looking at it. The perception is I'm partying. I'm actually, you're not looking at everything I'm doing. You're not, because you can't see it, doesn't mean it's not happening.
That is the word, I think, that when it's all said and done, he won't win again. Doesn't matter, he's done. When it's all said and done, and then somebody says to you, give me one word. Give me one word to describe Eric Adams' run as mayor. And the word is going to be perception. Because at this point, he can be perceived as the mayor, I guess. But based upon what we've accomplished in this city, him being the mayor may just be just that. A word he loves to use, perception.
The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time?
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
From our friends.
77 WABC.
This is a very close call, and I struggled for a long time with how to vote because there are elements of this bill I really, really strongly support. This has military aid for Israel. Israel is in the middle of a war. We should have provided this emergency military aid 6 months ago. In November, I joined several other senators. We forced a vote on the Senate floor to provide emergency military aid to Israel in November. And every single Democrat voted no. And every day since then, the delay in military aid has been because the Democrats were blocking it. I also support what they're doing on TikTok, but I can't support this bill ultimately because it gives money to Gaza, it gives money for the NGOs that are trafficking illegal immigrants, and it does nothing, zero, to stop the invasion at our southern border. That's got to be our priority.
I got to shut off Fox News at this point, too. That was Ted Cruz. He's 1,000% right. I got to shut off Fox News, too. They're showing protesters gathering outside Columbia University. Why would they show that? That's exactly what these animals want. By the way, they're all fat and ugly, every one of them. You very rarely see a hot protester. They're just fat, ugly. They have no friends. They had nothing going on in their lives. And they're either going to shoot up a school or do this. So I guess this is the better alternative. So these are their friends now. This is their life. Wrap a kefir, a dirty kefir, around their neck and stand out of our institutions. Some get paid, some don't. But come in here and shut this off now. I won't watch it. They go from this to Lawrence Jones. He's out. You ready for this? A pro-Palestine bear in Wisconsin. Talking to two dopey young girls. And he goes, well, what about the Israeli women that were raped and the babies that were thrown in the oven? And the two girls go, and I quote, that was denied. It didn't happen. And even if it did, one of them goes, even if it did happen, that does not give Israel the right to kill civilians. We're not protecting Hamas. We're protecting civilians. And what they should know is that civilians and Hamas are separated by a pubic hair. Pubic hair. Because the Palestinians, the sweet, empathetic Palestinians, they teach their children at a very, very early age, like 7, to hate and kill Jews. So there's nothing I can watch. I can't watch CNN. I can't watch MSNBC. And now I can't watch Fox. Don't give these people airtime. These animals standing outside. Now, you want to give Mike Johnson airtime later and my buddy Anthony D'Esposito? Have at it. Go ahead. When they show up at Columbia. But don't show these idiots standing outside. They're getting television time. So now I got to go back and do, well, you know, what I usually do, which is just watch SpongeBob SquarePants or sports. Because this has become really intolerable, all of it. And Cruz is right about this bill. This bill sucks ass. Now, I'm sure Nicole Malliotakis is going to explain to me there's got to be some compromise and all that. I don't care. There's no compromise from the left. The Senate kicks everything right back. Takes them about 2 seconds. No one is going to convince me, not Peter King, not anybody, that giving $60 billion more to Ukraine, giving nothing to our border, and 1/3 of that to Israel is a good bill. Nobody. We'll see what Nicole Malliotakis has to say. Good morning, Nicole.
I voted against it.
There you go. See, this is why I love you. This is why I love you. I told you this at the Capitol Grill in Washington, D.C. I've told you this on this show many times. I'm not blowing smoke up your butt. You, Nicole Malliotakis, you are legitimately a great American.
Well, thank you very much. But look, I agree with you, Sid. I was very frustrated that this bill came forward. And we got it in piecemeal. We got it in different 4 different bills, unlike the Senate, who had to vote it as one package. But the Ukraine funding, we were told by leadership all along that it was going to be the Ukraine funding with the border security. And when it came forward with no border security, I could not support it. I mean, we have hundreds of terrorists coming to our border. Either they were caught at the border or in our interior. I'm very concerned about a terror attack happening. As a New York City member in a post-9/11 world, there's nothing more important than making sure our border is secure. And the other thing is, look what's happening in New York City. We're here, right? We see it every day. There are people who are here illegally. There are gang members. There are convicted criminals that are here illegally. The city refuses to deport them to work with ICE. So I think it's unconscionable to send more money without getting that border protection that we were promised this entire year. And that is why, you know, I had to vote no, breaking with my colleagues. But I think my constituents agree with me, the majority. They feel the same way as I do and are very frustrated by the open border policies Yep. of this president. And let's remember, 60 policy changes he made at the border. He has the ability to change it with a stroke of a pen. He can undo the mess he created, refuses to. And then Senator Schumer refuses to pass any of our measures, even the some that are really specific to convicted criminals being deported that even had bipartisan support in the House. Chuck Schumer won't take any of them. So to vote this legislation out without a single extraction to me was unacceptable.
Well, I'm glad you did it. I would have voted it down, too. I'm sick of giving Zelensky money. You know, I don't look at Putin as this real threat, not to Poland, certainly not to us. I mean, like you just talked about, we've got terrorists on our campuses right now. You know, a lot of these are dopey kids that have no friends, and they're looking for a cause. They're the same dopey kids that walked around the streets back during the George Floyd days. But some of these people are absolutely paid by people like George Soros. They are professional instigators, and they are dangerous. They will go violent like Antifa. So why am I giving all this money to Zelensky when I've got all these issues here?
Yeah, look, obviously, stopping Putin is important. I voted for previous funding. And I will say this, though. The United States has given three times what Germany has provided. They've given five times what the UK has provided. And Europe needs to also step up here. The whole burden can't be on us. And I think that's the point that President Trump made so correctly, was that Europe's on the front line. They need to do more. And obviously, we want to see Putin pushed back. If it goes into Poland and other areas, there are further ramifications for us. But again, this was a matter of principle for me. It was a matter of we were promised.
Let me stop you right there. What have you seen? What have you seen from this effort so far, nearly 2 years in, from Putin and this Russian army that says to you that they've been good enough, strong enough, powerful enough to start making moves into Europe? They've been inept. They can barely beat the Ukrainians with a lot more money, a lot more men, and a lot more weaponry. What have you seen from Putin? I'm trying to say it here. That makes him the such a dangerous force that he's going to take over Poland and Europe next. I haven't seen that.
Well, and I think the reason we haven't seen it is because there's been support, the weaponry, the ammunition, the things that we've been able to send to Ukraine to push back. But again, my view is that we need Europe to be doing more. We shouldn't be giving five times what UK, a very wealthy country, has provided. And I agree with you on what's happening at Columbia being a tremendous concern. I'm actually going to be with the speaker later today, and you mentioned Anthony D'Esposito. We'll be together meeting with Jewish students because we have real threats here at home. I mean, these Jewish students are being threatened physically, verbally. They've had death threats. There's professors on campus that have called the Hamas attacks awesome without ramifications. We have professors that have praised Hamas and then were hired by the institution. So they didn't even do their own due diligence, or maybe they did and saw it and didn't care, and they still hired those professors anyway. So we want this president to resign. The president of Columbia University, President Shafiq, needs to go. She has shown she's unable to keep her school safe, her students safe. To go to remote learning for the rest of the semester is a disgrace. Think about what people are paying in college tuition. And the other thing I'd like to say to President Biden is that we should not be paying the student loans for these anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas students. Why are we paying student loans for these individuals?
That's a very good question. By the way, she's not going to resign. because she's got support. So she's going to keep pushing, pushing, pushing. I was there Monday, as you know, with D'Esposito, Bruce Blakeman, Mike Lawler, and a host of others. We started this. She ain't resigning. You know, they got worse, the protests. You'll show up today with Mike Johnson. They're not going to calm down the protests. There's going to be a big march tomorrow night. Nothing's going to change. I mean, nothing's going to change.
I disagree with you. I believe she will end up resigning, just like we saw a number of other university presidents do. I called for her to resign with Elise Stefanik on Sunday, on Monday. We all did a letter, the 10 of us from New York. And I think that you're seeing now big donors pull their money out, saying they're not going to support the institution. This is going to be a problem as long as people continue to do what we're doing, right? We're going to see Speaker Johnson there today. I'm sure he's going to join our calls for her to resign.
I'm sure he is. And you'll probably get Donald Trump there at some point, too. But my point is this. The Harvard president, Gay, they got her on plagiarism, some other charges. By the way, she's still getting paid. So we didn't get a total win there. She makes nearly $1 million a year. She's still getting paid. At least did a great job, but we didn't get a total win there. The lady at Pennsylvania, same thing, makes about $800,000 a year. She's still getting paid. So unless we start to find some other stuff on this reprobate, the president at Columbia, she's going to hold on as long as possible. And even if they do ask her to step down, they're going to pay her. That's not a win for us. We need to fire these people, take away their payday, and make them miserable.
You sound very angry today. I agree with you. But look, let me say this too. I think the other thing the House needs to do is pass a package of legislation to hold these institutions accountable. I have two bills right now that I believe would really go a long way. One would strip federal funding from these institutions if they allow for this anti-Semitic activity. They promote it, participate in it, allow for it to take place, which is exactly what's happening at Columbia, and also not holding those professors accountable who actually went out there with pro-Hamas statements. That type of anti-Semitism, we need to strip federal funding from those institutions. I have a bill that would allow for the Secretary of Education to do that. And cool. The other thing is we need to strip visas from foreign students who are participating in these anti-Semitic events. I would love to know how many of these students are from other countries that hate us, and they are here, privileged to be here, to go attend an American university. Those visas need to be stripped if they are making these types of threats to other students on campus, and hopefully we'll see Mike Johnson bring a package to the floor that will do this.
I agree with you, and there are a ton of them that are not from here, and I am pissed, and I am angry. You know, this whole thing turns into, oh, look, I'm outside Columbia like everybody else. I'm part of a march. Becomes like a tourist spot. This is not a joke. This is not going to Rockingham to see where O.J. Simpson killed his wife and the waiter. People need to be pissed. This is not a big kumbaya party for people to march up and down the streets as if they care. I mean, I'd like to see these Jewish students fight for themselves, but the truth is they're not there. I mean, you guys are going today to talk to the Jewish students. There's like five on campus right now, five. They all went home for Passover. I'd like to see the Jewish students come back at some point and get in the faces of these pro-Palestinians. It's great when Sid goes. It's great when Nicole goes. It's great when Johnson goes. But what about the Jewish students fighting for themselves? We did this in the 1930s, and the Germans nearly extinguished all of us.
Yeah, no, Sid, I never thought we would see this type of anti-Semitism within the United States of America. It is outrageous how this has flared up. People have really shown their true colors. It is scary to think that we would have people in our city flying the Hezbollah flag, chanting praise for Hamas, for Iran. Unbelievable, the anti-Semitism that we are seeing in this city, a city that is so diverse and has been welcoming of people from all around the world. This, the way that this has shown where people are is a very scary, and I think it goes to the root of the issue is our education system. What are these young people being taught in these schools? The TikTok issue, right? People, young people accessing misinformation, disinformation campaigns on social media. This is what has been such a tremendous discussion in Congress this year, and that is why we're going after the TikTok. But that's just a part of the problem. And President Trump actually did something remarkable, which was he put together a plan to stop this indoctrination of our youth in schools. It starts at the public school level. We see it in New York City, the indoctrination of our youth. And that's really where this has to start. I think I would probably say things are very different in this public school system in New York City, run by Democrats, than it is in a red state. Probably a better quality of education you're getting in a red state.
Much.
And what I would say is that this is what President Trump tried to get a hold of with the federal Department of Education. And that's why we need him elected and to come back, because all the things that we are upset about right now, he tried to address. Right. He was addressing the border, he was securing the border, he was stopping this congestion pricing, he was stopping heroin injection centers in our cities, the indoctrination of our youth. He was going after and putting things in place to address all of it. And that is why we need him back, because this president, President Biden, has only undone any of the progress that we were making.
You want the ultimate irony, Nicole?
Here it is.
I'm going to promise you, I'm going to guarantee you that the parents of these Columbia students, and these students as well, if they're old enough, I'm going to promise you the overwhelming majority vote Democrats, because that's what Jews in New York do. They're my own people. I love them, but they're killing us. Our biggest problem are our own people. I will guarantee you they vote Democrat. And guess who shows up on the white horse to try to help out their kids? Conservative Republican talk show host Sid Rosenberg, Republican Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, D'Esposito Republican, Lola Republican Blakeman. That's who's showing up. You're not seeing Eric Adams standing outside. Stop this. He tweets. You're not seeing that wench, Governor Hochul, standing outside. She tweets. You're not seeing Chuck Schumer, that asshole, standing outside. He says nothing. Who's out there for these people who vote Democrat their whole lives? Us, Republicans.
Yeah.
It's not the ultimate irony?
It really is. And this has sort of been the plight of us, the few Republicans in New York City, is trying to educate people about how the policies that they hate most in our city and state have been brought to us by the Democrat Party. The reason we have bail reform brought to us by the Democratic Party, the reason we are continuing to fight this congestion pricing and we are having trouble, why? Because of the Democrat Party. The reason we are upset with homeless shelters and migrant shelters on every block, because of the Democratic Party. They have dismantled the programs that were working under Rudy Giuliani, the things that transition people to being self-sufficient. So all these issues, whether it's the border, whether it's the migrant crisis, again, congestion pricing, you name it, the anti-Semitism that we're seeing being unchecked, coming from the far left, again, brought to us by the Democrats and the far left radicals in our city and our country. And the more people recognize this, I do believe we're going to flip seats. We've done it. Look what happened in Nassau County. All right. You flipped the county executive. We have Bruce Blakeman. You flipped the congressional seat. We have Anthony D'Esposito, the entire county legislature there, the DA as well. Staten Island and Southern Brooklyn in my district, we flipped four assembly seats. Not too long ago, I was the only Republican representing any level of government in Brooklyn. Now there's seven of us. Okay. That is significant. And it is because we are going out there, amplifying it, educating people about who's responsible for these disastrous policies. And I hope that people will, they're upset, they're angry, they don't like what's going on with crime, with the migrant crisis, that the fact that their tax dollars are being given to people who just walked into the country last week while we're struggling to keep a roof over our head, to pay rent, to feed our families. If they're not happy with that, they need to stop voting for the Democrats at the city, state, and federal level. That's it. I mean, the one person that is – there's two people, actually, that are stopping us from securing the border, okay? It's Chuck Schumer, President Biden. President Biden could do it on his own. He did it on his own to create this disaster with 60 policy changes. Chuck Schumer won't pass a single bill, even the ones with bipartisan support that have come out of the House. The two of them are the ones responsible for the crisis that we're seeing, and they need to be held accountable.
Hey, HR2 is still on Schumer's desk. Final 60 seconds. The only thing I do like about the bill, and again, I would have voted down just like you, so congratulations, is putting the gun to the head of the Chinese to either sell TikTok or will ban it in the United States. I do like that part of the bill.
Yeah, look, it's important. I mean, it goes to the root of the issue of these young people being indoctrinated and the CCP using this social media platform to not just take private information of Americans, but to give misinformation and indoctrinate our young people. It is all part of their strategic plan to dumb down America, right, to make us weak. It's also why they're sending fentanyl through the southern border. They're sending it to Mexico, then they're coming over our southern border because, again, they want to, especially our military-age people, to not be able to be in a position to defend this country. I think it's all connected. And the other important piece of the legislation was this was the part that I did vote for, right, because it put sanctions on Russia and Iran, but particularly Mike Waller's piece, which I'm a co-sponsor of, the SHIP Act, which would actually go after the oil that Communist China is purchasing from Iran by sanctioning any entity, foreign entity, that is helping to produce, refine, or transport it. Very critical, because we know that's what's enriching Iran. That's where this administration has failed, waiving so many of the sanctions, the ending the maximum pressure campaign on Iran and enriching Iran to be able to fund Hamas, Hezbollah, or the rockets that they're using themselves. So I think that was a big win for us to get that across the finish line.
Agreed. Mike Lawler, the SHIP Act. Hey, Nicole Malliotakis, that was a great conversation. I'm really not angry. I'm actually, you know me very, very well. We've socialized. I'm a very easygoing guy, but I guess when it comes to this stuff, I really am pissed. I've seen enough. The fact that we are negotiating, we're negotiating with terrorists, these animals on our campuses, like I said earlier, send in the cops with a bunch of baseball bats and rip down these tents and beat the living daylights out of these people. No, we're negotiating. It was so nice of them. Another 48 hours. Get them the hell out of there. What are we doing?
Yeah, there used to be a time where the administration of these schools actually set the rules and enforced them. And you actually had to do what the rules of the campus were, right? That's what it was when I was in college. But that's why this administrator, this president of the university, has been so weak and needs to go. And I believe that we're going to get her to resign.
Good.
Because it would be nice if Schumer and all these characters helped. But again, once again, the Republicans are the ones who are doing what's right and doing what's needed to restore order on America's campuses.
Damn right. Well, good luck, because I want this lady out more than anybody. Good luck with Johnson and Esposito today. Great job on the bill. And we will talk again and see each other very soon. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Nicole Malliotakis right there, one of our fine Congress people, great congresswoman out of Staten Island in Brooklyn, and it is fair to say that I scared the living daylights out of her.
I think it's very fair to say that.
What do you mean? Get this goddamn man to beat him with a bat. Come on, let's go.
Right. I'm not always this mad, Nicole, but in this case, are you with me?
Yeah, you're not with me. Get this damn lady out of there, knock down those tents, and beat these people half to death. That's what I want to hear.
All right. I'll sign off on that.
Or you're Palestinian. Get out.
Yeah. That's
true. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
How much you mean to me. And I guess it's just the woman in you that brings out the man in me. I know I can't help myself. You're
entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
So where I'm sitting, just to give you a look inside the genius, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, the genius.
So to my left is the newsroom. I've got these, a door and, you know, two, what would you call those?
Television?
Take TVs.
No, there are three TVs to my left.
Oh.
I can see three. Only one of them is on right now.
Yes.
And that's the one to my furthest right, which is another pinko commie station.
There you go.
But they're on at least New York One. The one in the middle, just over Noam's head, MSNBC, is off. The one to the left of Noam, CNN, is off.
Mm.
And inside the studio, there's a much smaller TV, which I always have Fox News on, because that's my favorite.
Yeah.
And it's off.
Yes, it is.
And you're going, now, why would that be off? I'll tell you why. All right. I told you last segment.
Yes.
I don't want to see video of these pro-Palestinian animals standing outside the university chanting and clapping and live video of that. I don't want these people getting any airtime, TV time. Then, as I told you last segment, Lawrence Jones, who's part of that morning show, Fox and Friends, with Kilmeade, Ducey, and Ainsley, he's in Wisconsin at a pro-Palestine fair, like a carnival, pro-Palestine fair. And he's talking to these two dopey young girls wearing all that ridiculous garb. And they're like, well, you know, we're not sure that any Israelis really got raped or murdered. And even if they did, the Israelis have no right to kill innocent civilians. And Lawrence Jones is interviewing these two girls as if they're credible or smart. So my recommendation to all these TV stations is, don't put them on, because now you're losing even people like me. I'm not interested. I know they hate us. I know they deny all the horrible things that happened. I don't need to see Lawrence Jones interviewing someone. Let CNN do that. Let MSNBC do that. Let racist Errol Lewis do that. Fox News, you got to be better. Do not do that. Don't show me people wearing kapirs on Broadway clapping and chanting right now. I don't want to see it. I saw it. You know why? I went there. I was there Monday, and I saw it with my own eyes, and it is very, very difficult to see. It really is. It's horrendous. I saw, like Justin did, the tents with my own eyes. It's very difficult to see. Yes, Nicole Maliotakis, I'm angry. This is God. This is not Gaza. We're in New York. 16th Street and Broadway, it's like you're in Gaza. Everybody walks by you wearing a kefir. Other than a pretty large cop presence, and they can't do much anyway, it's Gaza. Everybody walks by you wearing a kefir. Tents, encampments. This is New York City. You're damn right I'm pissed off. I'm past the point. Even if this animal resigns at Columbia, what's to say the next one is not going to be every bit as bad, if not worse? I have zero confidence that whoever Harvard hires is going to be good. Because this administration and our academia, as I said earlier in the program, is infested. They're contaminated with Jew haters, American haters. So, listen, Shafiq should resign yesterday. She should be thrown out today. And maybe this added pressure will get that done. Does that mean that Columbia is going to be saved? I don't know. How are these people allowed to infiltrate our campuses? They don't even go to school there. Some don't even live here, from different countries. How is a guy like George Soros able to get these people inside our institutions? You folks have no idea how scary this is. Sitting there watching the Rangers and the Knicks. We are seconds away. And I'm not playing a Gordon Chang here, but we are seconds away from something really bad happening in this city. Seconds. Peter King is going to join me next. I got to give Peter credit. He's gone to D.C. 5 times the last couple of years, telling them the same thing. They are here. They are ready. You don't think people in all these countries that hate us aren't watching all this and celebrating? You don't think right now in Iran they're not watching these animals outside Columbia University and celebrating, laughing at us? Of course they are. And this is why. This is why all you Democrats, all you ceasefire people, the last thing we need is a ceasefire. This is why Bibi Netanyahu and Israel need to go into Rafah today and wipe out Hamas. And if civilians die, guess what that's called, folks? War. Not happy about it. Don't want to see innocent people die, assuming there are innocent people. I'm not sure that's the case either. I'm sick of hearing about empathy for Palestinians. I don't have it. Sorry. But let's say there are. People die during war. It is time to get the hostages out. If there are any left, I don't know. My gut tells me there's very few. Less than 10. That's what I believe. Less than 10. Doesn't matter. Get them out. If there's one, get him or her out and destroy Hamas and stick it in the face of every single one of these kids. And by the way, you Jewish parents who vote Democrat time and time again, these are the people that are allowing this to happen. These are the people that systematically, you guys all love that word, are destroying this country, ripping our guts out from the inside and handing our guts to the enemy. It's time to finish all of it. Finish it. Rip down these encampments. Send these hired animals back to their own countries. Expel these kids in these schools forever. Fire or make resign and don't pay them, every one of these school presidents. And go into Gaza, into Rafah, and wipe out the enemy. There is no other way. I don't care how many Sid Rosenbergs show up at Columbia, how many Mike Johnsons, how many Nicole Malliotakis's, how many Anthony D'Espositos, how many Donald Trumps. I don't care. It's great that we all care. We're putting on the pressure. That's fantastic. That ain't going to get it done. Because the war is not just on 116th and Broadway. The war extends all the way to Israel and Iran and most of the Middle East. Whether you like it or not, World War III is not close. World War III is now.
I've been to Hollywood, I've been to Redwood, I crossed the ocean for a heart of gold. I've been in my mind, it's such a fine line that keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Friend Kevin Breslin just told me something. He told me two things. One was stupid. Yes, I want to start a war, Kevin. Stay out of it. God. But he did tell me one thing that was important, that 2 years ago today, somebody that I did not know and still never met his parents, even though I take the bus right by their house to go to the gym almost every week, hero firefighter Timothy Klein was killed 2 years ago today, April 24th, 2022. And my community has done a great job since Timothy died. They've even renamed 129th Street, where you and I dine often, Lewis. Some of our favorite restaurants, from La Sorrentina to Cali's to Pico to the, well, what's the other place I love? Pino Rustico. They've renamed that street Timothy Klein Way. And I'm dying to meet his father, who's a hero fireman. I've never met him. I've once or twice considered just knocking on the door to say hello, because I've been told by people he does know me and listen to the show occasionally, like Matt Conklin, whose daughter Ava, yes, same name, was killed while sitting at a bus stop in front of a Walgreens on 105th in our neighborhood by some irresponsible kid. So I may do that today. Anyway, Peter King is here, the great congressman. I always say in my lifetime, two best politicians in New York, King and Giuliani. Peter, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Actually, I'm doing good, and I actually feel lucky. It was exactly a year ago at this time. I was in the operating room in Long Island Jewish being operated on for stomach cancer.
Oh, my God.
Which I've survived.
Thank
and
you.
That sort of prepares me for being on the show with you.
You know, I can actually see you, I swear, as if you took the picture yesterday sitting in that chair in your living room in the house. Remember you sent out that picture?
Right. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That's already a year ago?
Yeah, a year ago, April 24th, yeah.
You know what's great, too, Peter, is that seemingly, and you would know better than me, you've really been great since. I mean, no issues, right?
No, there was no radiation, no chemo. I went back in for a seven-month checkup, and that was totally clear. I think I have one more to go, but no, I feel great. Everything's working, including my brain, I think. No, actually, I was lucky. They found it. They were looking for something else. It was a routine acid reflux. They were examining that. There was nothing there. And while they were there, they saw the small tumor growing in my stomach. So if I hadn't gone in for the acid reflux, because I had no symptoms from that tumor at all. So God knows how long it would have gone before it showed itself. But then it may have been too late. So, no, I'm a lucky guy.
And no, we're all lucky. Not only are you lucky, and obviously Rosemary and Erin and Sean, but we're all lucky because, well, you're that important to all of us. So, look, I don't want to argue about Ukraine, but I want to ask you about the bill.
Yes,
just
sure.
The bill in general. No money to the border and 20-something billion to Israel. Putting Ukraine aside, what about the rest of that?
Well, first of all, I think Israel should get every dollar that it needs, and I think they're satisfied with the amount they got. I mean, I'm not down there anymore, but to me, there's no doubt Israel should get every penny it needs. There should be no pressure put on them at all to, not to finish the job, go in, root out Hamas, root out all those leaders. And as you were saying, listen, during the closing days of World War II, nobody was talking about how many innocent Germans are being killed. The fact is, you go in to do the job, and then afterwards you try to help people out, help out the good people that are left. But you have to win the war first. You have to win it. You have to root out all the bad
people. So what is our mutual friend, Kevin Breslin, I keep bringing him up, he must be so happy, but sending me a message like, what are you, nuts? What do you want to start a war? What do you mean? I'm trying to finish a damn war.
Yeah, to me, the only way you can stop wars is to stop the one you have now. And there's no doubt if Israel ends this, if they're forced to end it before Hamas is destroyed, before Hamas is rooted out, all that means is more people are going to be killed a year or so from now. The horrible atrocities are going to continue. And I agree with you. Listen, no one wants innocent civilians killed. But when you see polls showing that 70, 80, 90% of Palestinians support Hamas, then they're all part of the enemy. Just listen, the decision was made in World War II that the German citizens were part of the German war effort. And to win the war, there had to be all-out attacks, whether it was Dresden or any of those major cities in Germany. And then also you go to Japan. I mean, Harry Truman, you now consider one of our great presidents, dropped the atom bomb. We didn't write stories the next day about how many innocent civilians were killed. The bottom line is it saved American lives. It won the war. Japan is now a flourishing democracy. Germany is now a democracy. And there has not been a war in Europe since you know, the end of World War II. And so, no, you have to get it done. And Israel has to, listen, they have the only democracy in the Middle East. That's the most dangerous neighborhood in the world. One of our major enemies is there. And if Israel wasn't there, we'd have to create someone to do what Israel was doing for us. And it's not American troops there. American troops aren't on the line. It's Israelis are on the line protecting themselves, but also protecting American interests. And you can't overstate how dangerous and how evil Iran is. And Iran is behind all of this. Hezbollah, Hamas, and, you know, you were up there at Columbia. I don't care what people say. This is why I think the threat now of a terrorist threat is greater in our country and in New York since 9/11. All those thousands of people out there demonstrating for Hamas, if only two or three of them are terrorists, they could kill thousands of people with one subway attack, one attack on a major department store. And this is just getting worse and worse. And for these educators, they're an absolute disgrace to allow these animals to be occupying. That's why I give you and Anthony and Bruce and Mike credit for going up there. But you're right. It's not enough to have Sid Rosenberg. Where are these university presidents? Where's the mayor? Where's the governor? They're the ones who have the real obligation to speak out and let the cops do their job.
Couldn't agree more, and I've been saying that all morning. It's nice that the mayor sent out a tweet before he went to Miami, by the way, or the governor sends out tweets, you know, and Maliotakis is going there today, and Anthony's going back, and Johnson. But again, it's not going to get it done. I mean, maybe it'll eventually lead to this lady resigning, but because she's not going to deal with the pressure. But Johnson, for example, yes, he's a Speaker of the House. I think that's a nice gesture, but he's going through hell. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants him out, want to vacate that position. There's another guy in Kentucky who wants him out. Ted Cruz was very critical of Johnson yesterday. What are your thoughts on the Speaker?
No, I think he's doing an excellent job. I was out with John and Rita the other night. We had Newt Gingrich on, who was a guest. And Newt and I haven't always agreed in the past, even though we understand each other. And he said that Mike Johnson was a hero. He showed great leadership. He did what had to be done. But even if you disagreed with him, the fact is you can't be removing someone from office every time you disagree with the position they're taking. And again, I support what Johnson did. I think he did the right thing. But if he didn't do that, you don't remove a speaker. We never removed a speaker in the history of the United States until Kevin McCarthy. And that whole idea of vacating the speaker, that was intended for corruption, for some kind of treason, not disagreeing with their positions. We're going to become like a banana republic, or like some of these countries in Europe where they have a new government.
Well, but let me ask you this. You're right. But you're right. But this is not just, and I like Mike Johnson. Let me go on record right now. I like him. I think he's the right guy for the job. But I think this criticism is worthy because this is not just a policy difference. I could make the argument that spending no money on our border is a national security threat. And I do believe people should lose their jobs over national security. Can I not make that argument?
No, you can, but it wouldn't be a good one. The fact is that border security is vital. National security is vital. Stopping Russia influence is in America's national interest. That saves American lives, American jobs. And whether it's me or Mark Levin or Newt Gingrich, we can go through the list, or every top Republican in the Congress, the head of the Armed Services Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Intelligence Committee, all believe that. So that, to me, I believe he's on the right side of history. And first of all, a foreign aid bill generally only has money for foreign countries. So that's like a bad argument to say there's nothing there for America.
Got it.
But we do need money for border security. Absolutely. This is disgraceful inaction by the Biden administration. But you don't compound that inaction by then hurting us in foreign policy. We have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time, or a world power. But I agree with you to this extent. If we don't firm up our border, we could be taken out from within. But sending money to Ukraine doesn't hurt us at the border. It wasn't like one or the other. There's plenty of money if they want to send it to the border. The Biden people are holding it back intentionally. They don't want to secure the border.
It is unbelievable because all he has to do really is sign an executive order, you know, kind of reinstall, maybe remain in Mexico. One of the things that Donald Trump had in place, and there would be a remarkable difference overnight.
Yeah, I'm not trying to oversimplify things. The fact is all he had to do is what President Trump did. I mean, Biden was so proud of himself the first couple of days in, he was issuing all these executive orders repealing what Trump did. Well, the fact is, we had more control of the border under President Trump than we did in the last 20 or 30 years. and Donald Trump was getting it done with very little support from the Democrats, but he got it done. The first thing Biden did was in there. He was opening up the borders. He was basically, the number of illegal immigrants that have come in the last couple of years under Biden is historically bad. Even Obama did a much better job than him. Trump did a far better job. So it's not rocket science here. Yeah. It's not even a great amount of money has to be appropriated. Just undo his lousy executive orders, reinstate what President Trump did.
We need Trump now. You know, Peter, he spends most of his days, and he's right, vilifying Mershon, this judge who's just a complete disgrace. I mean, yesterday he called out Trump's lawyer, basically mocked him. He yells at Donald Trump almost every day. He's got the power, and he can't stand Trump, and he's exercising his power, and he's a disgrace. And instead of talking about, you know, Colombia, which he did yesterday, Trump, for a short time, that's all he can do. Instead of talking about that or the border or all the things that are really affecting America, this poor guy is sitting in a courtroom most of the day. And when he needs to talk, when he wants to talk, he ends up talking about Mershon because this guy's trying to destroy his life. And it's hurting us. We need Trump to be out there talking about this stuff that can help fix this country again.
We do. And listen, this is bad for Trump. It's bad for the United States. He is the nominee of the Republican Party for President of the United States. He should be not sitting in a courtroom talking about misdemeanors, alleged misdemeanors that happened 16 years ago, 6 years ago, or 5 years ago, contrived into a phony indictment. This, to me, is what you expect to see, really, in some banana republic. It's a disgrace. And what really bothers me, and I've spoken to lawyers about this, where is the bar associations in New York? Where are they? Where are the other judges? Why aren't people speaking out? This is such an abuse of power. You talk about an assault on democracy. This is a direct assault on democracy. It's tearing it apart, and to have even the media somehow treating it as if some kind of game. I mean, this has never happened before in the history of the country. If you're going to indict a president for the first time in history, have it on something substantive, not something that's been contrived and made up. And every one of these indictments is politically driven. And for them to say the White House is not involved, when you have the number three guy from the Justice Department coming to New York to try a misdemeanor case in a New York criminal court, it's a disgrace. Tying the president down to this is absolutely shameful, and it's going to hurt the country. One way or the other, Donald Trump can always survive. I'm more worried about the country. The country is going to be permanently damaged by this. And also, everyone has to realize what goes around comes around, and you're going to find a Democratic president in the future in some DA in Mississippi or Arkansas or somewhere indicting him, and we're going to lose the dignity we have as a nation over the years.
Trump trial, by the way, resumes tomorrow. Back to your neighborhood. First of all, I know you're proud. You know, you're kind of you're the godfather or the consigliere, whatever you are, of that whole Long Island contingent, and they're great, man. Bruce Blakeman, can't say enough good things. Anthony Diaz-Posito, can't say enough good things. And I could take it to Tierney and Donnelly and Romaine, all of them. But those two guys specifically, because I spend a lot of time with them. And Finn, oh, man, I love Finn. And Leah and Pat Ryder. It's just an amazing group of people, basically led by you and Joe Cairo. And I guess you got some good news today. I know you don't like this guy, like talking about this guy, but it is newsworthy that George Santos has decided to end his campaign today. What are your thoughts?
I'm glad he's gone. The sooner the better. But, you know, you talk about Blakeman and Cairo and Anthony. We were having lunch yesterday, talking about you, by the way. As we were sitting there, 2 minutes on a camera here now, Chris, crazy city, we're making all sorts of comments about us sitting there, talking and trying to divide things up. How we can go after Sid? We're playing an attack on you. We're going to take over your show. I mean, Anthony's not really a friend of yours. We just snuck him in there. He's infiltrating.
He probably
he's
is.
Take it over. Yeah. He's going to take it over.
Hey, listen.
And then Bruce, David, Bruce, the two of them. You weren't smart enough to know that you outnumbered up there.
Oh, God.
Two of them and one of you.
Oh, that's funny. I got to tell you, Bruce Blakeman, that is funny. It wouldn't surprise me in this day and age with the Chinese and the Russians if they were spies too. Bruce Blakeman comes out of his car on Monday, walks up to the podium with us. He's wearing a yarmulke. How awesome is that?
Yeah, Bruce is a very serious Jew. I mean, I've known him for years. He's observant. He takes his religion, both religion-wise and also cultural-wise. He's proud to be a Jew. Anthony Diaz-Posito might as well be a Jew. I mean, he goes, I don't think there's a temple in his district. It's safe. Every time you go to one of these, Anthony is in there. No, these guys are dedicated. And Joe Cairo, has managed this whole situation where if anyone was ever heard making the slightest anti-Semitic remark, they'd be out of the Republican Party so fast you wouldn't believe it.
I'll say this on the way out. If all of New York City and all the boroughs and the state operated like Nassau County, this really would once again be the greatest city in the world. So congratulations to all you guys. I know Esposito and Johnson on their way back to Columbia today. And as always, Peter King, a spectacular appearance. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Peter King, everybody, the great congressman, great politician, even better person, my friend Peter King. That wraps up hour number three. And we've got a very special Israeli guest coming up to start hour number four, right after the news with Noam. We're coming back right after this.
Someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I know this is turning. While my guitar gently weeps.
WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
People I know, places I go, make me feel tongue-tied. And I can see how people look down.
All right, 9:25 on your hump day Wednesday morning. So I get a text from my friend Michelle Lubin. She started the Jexit movement down in Florida, which are Jews exiting the Democrat Party, which every decent Jew should do. I said it way before Donald Trump. I know he said it, I guess, about a month ago on Gorka's show. I've been saying it forever. Any Jew that votes Democrat is a disgrace. You're not misguided. It's not okay. You're a disgrace. And that's what Lubin says. She goes, I got this guy, and his name is Mike Kanarek. And you're going to love this guy. This guy was born in Saigon to an American U.S. Air Force father. His mom was Vietnamese. He ended up being adopted by a family in Brussels, Belgium, a Jewish family. That's when he became Michael, of course. Ended up serving with the Israeli Special Forces, Orev Golani, war combat veteran in South Lebanon. He's also deployed in the West Bank, which I like to call Judea and Samaria. Migrated to the U.S. in 1992. He's got his own martial arts studio down in Western Florida. Teaches Homeland Security in South Florida. This guy is the real deal. The real deal. Wrote his first article in a South Florida newspaper entitled Kill One, Terrorize a Thousand Following the 9/11 Attack. He was the Black Belt Magazine Instructor of the Year in December of 2007. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just released his lifetime book, Mike Lee Kanarek, Machine of Life, on Amazon. And he's coming to New York, I guess, to help with this Columbia nonsense. I was there Monday. Mike is coming this weekend. Here he is, I guess, live from South Florida, Mike Kanarek. Mike, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
Thank you for stopping by. Michelle said I'm going to love you. So did I introduce you the right way? There's a lot there, Mike. You've done an awful lot in your life.
It was the right way. Thank you very much. You said it perfectly.
All right, so tell folks more about what I just said. Born in Vietnam, moved to Belgium. Now you're a South Florida guy living in the United States. Obviously rich in martial arts. I also hear you handle a knife a lot better than OJ. And now you're here to help out the Americans. Tell us a little more about yourself.
Okay, I was born in the heat of the Vietnam War to an American father and Vietnamese mother. That's how I started my life on the war battlefields. Adopted by a Jewish family in Brussels, grew up in Brussels until 10 years old with nothing but love for my family, my adoptive family. Moved to Israel at 10 years old. At 18 years old, I volunteered to the IDF because my status of being half Vietnamese, half American, I was not a full Israeli status, so I had to volunteer. I ended up in one of the most rough special forces of the IDF, Orev Golani. After that, I came to America, started teaching martial arts. When September 11 hit, I started helping America with Homeland Security with my teachings of Israeli combative methodologies. And that sparked me teaching every single U.S. military branch, special forces, all kinds of like contracts that for overseas and here. And I teach Haganah, which is a martial art that is defensive, not aggressive. Everything we do is defensive, but when we defend ourselves, it's in a very fierce way. So I'm here to help the people.
It's called Haganah, is that right?
Correct. Haganah is in Hebrew means defense.
Yeah.
But I named my system after my father. My father was in the Haganah. He was an officer in the Palmach, and so I gave him the credit. Also, Haganah is the predecessor to the IDF, Tzva Haganah Israel. And so that's why I named my system Haganah. It's basically reality fighting self-defense. We don't start the fight, but we finish it.
I love that. But that's what Bibi needs to do in Rafa. Before I get to that, Mike Canerick, I want to get to Colombia. I was there Monday. I went there because it was the first day of Pesach, but it was the perfect day to do it. Now everybody's going. But I was there on Monday. The Speaker of the House is going
to
be there today. What's that?
I'm following your lead. I'm coming too.
I know you are. So I know that the karate that you do is in self-defense. But there's a part of me that wants to see you go Bruce Lee on all these asses, all these low-life scumbags that are putting up tents, walking around with kafirs. I mean, the fact that Colombia's president is, quote-unquote, negotiating with these terrorists, as far as I'm concerned, they're terrorists, sickens me. I need a guy like you to walk into that campus, walk into that encampment, and do your karate and knock them all out. Just bash them right in the face.
I wish I could, but then they're going to stop me.
They can't stop you. You're like the Bruce Lee of Israel.
I am the Bruce Lee of Israel. That's why I'm Mike Lee Canerick.
That's right. You added the Lee. But on a serious note, yeah, you can't do that. I wish you could. I really do. So what will you be doing when you get to Colombia?
Okay, so here's the deal with Colombia. In my opinion, what happened on October 7th in Israel was the stimulus to something globally. And a lot of people don't understand this, but it always starts in Israel, but it never ends with Israel. So on October 7th, when Hamas did this despicable attack on civilians in Israel, it started to spark things worldwide media-wise. And then I actually said it when it happened. This is the beginning of something very bad in America, and they're going to look for a battlefield in America. And to me, Colombia is now the U.S. battlefield for pro-Hamas to put a flag.
You just said pro-Hamas, and these disgusting people keep saying, well, we're pro-Palestine, but I know they're really pro-Hamas, and they love it when Jews get killed around the world. But they claim, no, we're not pro-Hamas, we're pro-Palestine, and we're here because Israelis are killing innocent children. We know that's nonsense, but that is their narrative.
Well, here we go. What they're doing is what I call stealth jihad. They will stay away from the word Hamas, but when you actually get into those protests, you'll hear them chanting Hamas didn't finish the job. We want Al-Qassam to finish the job, do October 7 again. So, yes, on the outside layer, they'll say they're pro-Palestine. But really, if you look at the Palestinians, especially in Gaza, to me personally, they're all Hamas. Because you are
me
now
too.
Not... To me, if you're in Gaza, you are Hamas. Because you, one, voted them in. Two, you support them. You know everything that's going on. To the world, they're projecting poor us. But at the end of the day, they're all partners with Hamas.
I'm glad you said that, Mike, because my daughter Ava yells at me. She's disgusted with me because I am yet to see evidence of quote unquote innocent Palestinians, because I say what you say. They vote for Hamas when they took back the hostages into Gaza. Those Palestinians were slapping hostages across the face. They were handing out candy to children. They were dancing in the streets. And she says, Dad, you have to understand, they have to do that. They have to vote for Hamas, because if they don't, Hamas threatens to kill their own people. They go, they really don't like Hamas. I go, wait a second. I'm not in their head. I don't know what they like and don't like. All I know is they teach those kids at a very early age to hate and kill Jews. That's it, Mike, right?
Okay, so here we go. And I'm saying this from somebody that was on the ground, understand the culture. Every Palestinian hates Israelis.
Thank you.
Period. And they can tell you they don't. But at the end of the day, the hate is so deep. It is in, like they teach them as kids, they're brainwashed in it. You are not dealing with a human being that you can reason with. So yes, to the world, like I said, they try to project stealth jihad. No, we're the victims. At the end of the day, what Jewish people need to understand, and I just said it 10 minutes ago, Colombia is now the U.S. battlefield for this issue and this current affair. What the American Jewish people need to understand, they hate us. They hate us. They will never stop hating us. And we are beyond the point of trying to reason with people. When you take when you take over 200 hostages, rape them, behead them, burn some, and you tell me that's resistance. The minute you raped a woman, you are no longer a freedom fighter. You are a terrorist. You hate us. You showed us that you hate us. And you coming into America and chanting in protest, rape is resistance, and we are Hamas, and we're going to do it again. You are showing us over and over and over again and proving us the point that you will never reason with us for peace. All you want to do is kill us. Time to defend ourselves. Time to stand and resist this hatred, this evil.
So I keep saying every day, what is Bibi waiting for? Now, I know what he's waiting for. He's come under a huge amount of pressure from the United States. We're supposed to be his best friend. We're not. Joe Biden has never been pro-Israel ever. This administration, guys like Blinken, they're traitors. They'll stab him right in the back. They made his life miserable. Even in his own homeland, there are more demonstrations in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem that want to kill Bibi than support him. So I understand he's under a tremendous amount of pressure, but he can't succumb to that. He needs to go into Rafah ASAP, get as many hostages out. I think there's only 5 or 6 alive, to be honest with you. But get them out and go in and wipe out Hamas. And if innocent civilians die, that's war, right?
Okay, so I'm gonna try to address this as diplomatically as I can, but as honestly as I can. We need to go in Rafah and finish the job. Period. That's how diplomatic I'm gonna be. Now. On a military level, on an IDF level, is that a complex issue? Absolutely. But without going into Rafah, without finishing Hamas, this war will never be over. Never be over. He has to go in. Yes, there's pressure, but I believe it's coming.
It is coming. So there's no doubt in your mind as a former IDF soldier and clearly a tough guy, Mike, that Bibi will do this. Because like you said, if he doesn't, they're just going to reorganize. Sinwar is still alive. A bunch of those scumbags are still alive. And we'll be doing the same thing in 5 years.
1,000%. You have to. Right now, Israel has the opportunity to kill the ideology of Hamas. If we don't finish the job, they will regroup and come back stronger. So at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we must go into Rafah. We must finish the job. And you have to kill the ideology of Hamas in the sense of it is so evil that you got to take it down to the ground behind the, behind any idea.
So in the final 60 seconds, this is Mike Lee Kanarek, who's a hero and is going to become my best friend. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to. He's on his way to Colombia.
Oh, me and you, I'm going to become brothers, sir.
I know, I can see it.
Brothers.
I can see it, man. We're on the same exact wavelength, and I appreciate your service, and I appreciate everything about you. So on the way out, Mike, as a guy that had to get through Vietnam, Brussels, and Israel just to get to Florida, is it fair to say that you are really disappointed? Maybe it was predictable. I thought it was. I said from day one, Biden is no good. But are you still disappointed with the way the United States has handled this conflict, including our universities and campus presidents?
I am disappointed. It was predictable, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah, me either. I got to be honest, me either. It's getting worse. Well, listen, when you come to town, make sure you come in and say hello. Thank you for all you've done, and thank you for what you will continue to do. And I will see you for lunch here in New York. Okay, pal?
1,000%, sir, me and you are becoming brothers.
I love it. Thank you very much. That is Mike Lee Kanarek, and that is a great job by Michelle Lubin, my friend from Jexit down in South Florida, Jews exiting the Democrat Party. She said, Sid, you're going to love this guy. And she was right. I love them. We'll take a short break. Wednesday morning. Oh, there's a great song, The Sundays. This story, getting ending soon.
Friends in the morning.
77 WABC.
Hey, hey, mama said the way you move gon' make you sweat, gon' make you groove.
You know that every single female in our audience right now wants to bang Mike Kanarek. No question. I want to. And I'm a happily married straight guy.
Yeah, they got
to
get behind you, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they didn't
love
see,
that guy.
They didn't see what you look like during the interview.
He was great, though. I mean, he really was. Mike Lee Kanarek. And going to meet him next week after he goes to Columbia and goes Bruce Lee on all these kids' asses. He said he can't do that, but I'm hoping he will.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Ainu Daye. No.
Let's go, Rangers.
Ferreira has come on, digging it loose to Trocheck. Open man, Zibanejad. He scores! Mika Zibanejad. It's off power play goal.
Purposely wanted to end today's show with the Ranger highlights. I love this song too, by the way, Lewis. You were amazing today. Because today happens to be the 2-year commemoration of the tragic death of a kid that grew up in my neighborhood. I'm only there 2 years. Some idiot on Facebook said, he's not even a local. That means I'm Jewish. That's code word for, oh my God, he's a Jew. I'm a local idiot. I've lived there for 2 years. But I've been there my whole life. Timothy Klein was, and didn't know him, unfortunately, but tragically killed in a fire in Brooklyn. 2 years ago today, he died. And I remember the funeral. I remember the streets in Bell Harbor, Rockaway, packed with people. My next-door neighbor, Billy Felton, a firefighter, he must have had 50 firefighters, him and Jackie, in their driveway, my neighbor. All my neighbors are firefighters and cops and first responders. And, you know, after the funeral that night, almost every house had 30 or 40 firefighters in their backyards and their driveways, remembering Timmy. And then 129th Street has since been renamed Timothy Klein Way, which is a huge honor and deserved. And he was a big Ranger fan. So there's a pharmacy on the end of the block, not far from Panino Rustico on 129th Street. And right across the street was the house that Tim was going to live in with his girl. But he died, of course. But there's a big Ranger flag there. I'm not even sure if it's still there. I was told today's a big lunch at Jameson's. You know, my buddy doesn't own that place anymore, Eric McManus. He sold it. He owned it for a long time, but he's out.
The place on 129.
Jameson's,
oh, Jameson's,
yeah.
Okay.
So I guess there's a lunch at Jameson's today in honor of Tim Klein. I'll stop by. No one knows me there, and some of them probably don't even like me. That's fine. But I do want to meet his father. And I've talked about Timothy Klein more than anybody outside of his own family the last 2 years. Have I not?
Oh, even right after his death, there was nobody louder on it than you.
Almost every day for weeks.
Yeah.
Not even Mark Healy at the Wave talked about it. In fact, I'm doing a Zoom today with Mark Healy at the Wave because of my visit to Columbia Monday. Today they're going to make a big deal about the Speaker of the House going. Maybe Trump will go this week. Just remember who was there first. And just remember who was in Israel first. Just remember all these things that people do tomorrow night, this big gathering. They're going to have an Israel walk. Just remember who does all these things first. Sid.
Yeah.
You've patented it.
You might as well be like the first Jew ever.
I may as well be. You're right.
You may as well be. You're like higher than Moses at this point.
Well, if they remake the Ten Commandments or better,
right. He dropped a tablet,
that
too.
Would be it.
He dropped five of them. You would have held up all three tablets. We'd have 15 commandments if you were leading the Jews to the
desert.
Let me
say this. There can't be enough streets named after me when I die.
That was Gnomes. I can't believe I just heard that laugh.
I would die.
He's crazier than I even thought.
Change the whole name of the borough or the state. I don't know. Hey, Lou, you were great today. Really great job. Justin, as always, Noam Layden.
Sid Rosenberg Way.
Yeah. I got the best crew in the business. I do. I got the best crew in the business.
Sid Highway.
Yeah. Timothy Klein, God rest his soul. We'll all be back again tomorrow for Thursday morning show. Until then, everybody, peace.